participate in a Don and Mike Show contest?
How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
37 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon. You are up next.
Hello.
Yes.
Wait, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, sure.
I'd like to say I came across your program by accident, and this is one of the more informative programs I've ever heard. And I've never called a radio show before, but I was drawn to call on this topic.
Yes. Thank you very much for doing so.
Absolutely, and I think you're an excellent interviewer. No matter who your guest is, you're forcing them to answer the questions that we're all waiting to hear the answers to, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
What's going on in South America is, of course, relevant to everything that happens in this hemisphere, but I feel that the World Bank is committing acts of ass play when forcing people to eat BM on the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. There is really no telling, is there? I am personally offended by this. Don't do it again. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going. You're gone. Don't call me again.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Dynamite.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most hotties in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Are closer than Jennifer Love Hewitt's breath.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Baby.
Mm. And whenever I hear dudes say that, I just start thinking about Jennifer Love Hewitt's breath.
Mm-hmm.
She got some great milkshake machines, man. She sure does.
I logged some time with MTV last night when the President Clinton show was on.
Right. Yes.
And they run that Jennifer Love Hewitt video like every 10 minutes on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, she's got some great knockers, but she's got zero rhythm.
Can't dance, can she?
In this video, all she does is kind of sway back and forth, and it's obvious the director says, okay, sway to the left, sway to the right, now, bend over.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole thing, is that she's wearing, like, these little skinny tops, and she's very poorly dancing to this song that's, like, obviously overproduced, like Kylie Minogue or somebody. You know what I mean? One of these.
But is that
God,
so wrong?
Kylie Minogue, that's going back. Where is Kylie Minogue now?
I don't know. But, you know, Kylie Minogue is one of those singers that couldn't sing.
Flash in the pan.
Right. And what they do is they overproduce the songs, and they put a lot of echo behind the songs.
Sure.
And she was just a good-looking woman who everybody liked looking at in her video.
And when artists that have been successful singers get a little long in the tooth and they can't cut it anymore, you'll notice the same thing happens where they start to overproduce and bring in the chorus and back of them and everything.
Well, it's obvious that Jennifer Love Hewitt, listen, she could be on MTV with no music playing.
Yeah, and everybody would just stare.
Yeah, it could just be a video of her just looking into the camera and guys would watch it. But they're doing this thing where they've got, like, different camera angles and shade. What I mean is, like, there's in one room she's walking through, she has, like, they say to her, look pensive now. You're looking very pensive, and, like, the shades are half-drawn. But the one thing you notice, no matter how well-lit each scene is, she's got some major league yabos.
And she could just be, like, swaying a little bit back and forth without moving at all.
And that is the focal point of her video.
You know, you have assured that MTV will get a lot of hits tonight. A lot of people will be tuning into MTV just to see that video.
Great video. Song's a piece of crap.
Video.
I got it right here.
I think
we've played it before.
With the sound down.
My breasts are huge. Isn't that the name of the song?
That's the name of the song. My breasts are huge. By Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Right here.
Every day I wake up to another day gone by.
Yeah, they're big.
Nothing but the open road and the never-ending wide.
Look at these jugs.
Anything can happen, yeah, but nothing.
I don't know all the words, so she gets to the hook part.
It's kind of strange. Same
Here we go, right here. Oh! My breasts are huge! They are so large! I got big ones! Oh, my breasts are huge! Get big boobs! I can't see my shoes!
Why?
Because my breasts are huge! My breasts are huge! My breasts are huge!
Big boobs! Climbing up 10 notches. That's Jennifer Love Hewitt, and my breasts are huge on the countdown.
This song is a piece of crap. The video's no good, but oh.
Yeah, you can just watch and watch and watch.
Oh, man.
Mmm.
She got some boobs.
Yeah, and she, you know, they use those breasts in movie trailers and movie advertisements and newspapers.
She's the sole reason I watch I Know What You Did Last Summer every time it's on HBO.
Yeah, who cares about all the killings?
She's the sole reason.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Her and Buffy.
Yes, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
In that movie, Buffy's got some nice ones, too.
Isn't she another three-named person, too?
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They call
Hello,
those three names.
Ladies.
Maybe that's a trend that all the, you know, the women with three names are going to have large breasts.
My breasts are huge. By Jennifer. Hello.
Donna Reich.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, remember a couple weeks ago you were talking about that show, The PJs?
The PJs, yes.
Hey, did you happen to see it last night?
No, that show's the worst show on TV, man. I don't watch that show.
Hey, check it out. They actually played the one that had the crackheads on there and everything you were talking about. He was drinking a 40 and everything.
I wasn't talking about that.
Okay, a couple weeks ago you said that they initially were going to run a little risky with crackheads and then...
I never said that. I really never did.
I guarantee you did. But hey, man, you guys are great. I'm a truck driver. I'm out on the road and I just enjoy this.
The only thing I ever said about the PJs is it got that bad, like, California raisin claymation stuff.
And it looks like, and it's not that funny. It's not as funny as some of the other animated shows.
Like in the hallways, like, hey, man, you crackheads, get out of here.
Unfortunately,
you know?
He didn't hear that because he was just, you know, going really crazy talking the whole time we were talking.
Just like we're doing right now. What?
I don't hear the crickets, do I?
No, the crickets are too good for you, sir.
Oh, come on. Mike, you got Sean here. I want to give props to Danny. He turned me on to this show. He pumps septic tanks for a living. He's classic.
Would be like
one of this show.
One of these truck drivers that, like, takes Vivarin or something. You know what I mean? A guy that has to stay up, like, for 48 hours.
I slept last week.
You what?
I said I slept last week.
You got to calm down.
Hey, man, imagine that. You see a guy on a car phone? You know, imagine having 80,000 pounds behind you on a car phone in a truck. You should see people get paranoid when I'm turning the corner with a cell phone in my ear.
Where are you driving this monster rig at right now, sir?
I'm in California. I'm in Lodi, California.
Lodi.
I haul empty wine bottles.
You what?
I haul empty wine bottles.
And how do they get empty?
I think we know the answer to that.
No, I take them to the winery. They make them at the glass plant, so I haul them to the wineries.
Are you, when it rains or it gets a little dicey out there, do you go extra fast?
Oh, I get on it. Hammer down, man. I get paid for every load I deliver.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. See you later.
Hey, take it easy.
All hopped up on caffeine.
Hepped up on goofballs, Buzz.
Hey, some of those guys, it just seems to me when you're out there, you know, and all of a sudden you get a little light mist when they say it's very, very dangerous, that's when they just kick it into overdrive because they figure the weight will stop them from sliding.
And they get mad if you don't go as fast as they go.
Oh, they do.
And that guy's on the road right now.
Mm-hmm. Hello, you know, the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
You know who knows a lot about that is my brother, the damn dummy. We got to get him on the show one of these days.
Your brother actually brought his rig by the station one time, and we hopped in, and I actually drove the thing.
You drove it around the block.
I love that.
You did. Hello there.
I did indeed.
Hey, just wanted to say as a warning to all the other idiots who think they can beat you guys in the name game, I think the guy, the loser on Peter, just got his butt fired. I'm up in the same area as he is, so it's a local call, and I call a few times. And
why would he get fired? There's no reason that guy would get... Hold on. Pipe down. I appreciate the fact that you want to sing our praises at the name game, but there's no reason that guy would get fired.
Well, I think he's at work, and I think they're really pissed that they've had like 4,000 calls in the last 10 minutes.
Well, he did it, and he'll have to take that up with his bosses.
It's amusing. You gotta love it. Rock and roll, guys.
Are you a truck driver, too?
No, I can't.
All hepped up on goofballs?
I do drive for a living, but I don't drive a truck. Well, you guys got to get a webpage.
You could drive one of the big rigs. You sound just like that last guy that called in.
No, but hey, I'm a redneck from Maine. What do you expect?
Hey, let me ask you something. By the way, something.
Why do you care?
All right, goodbye. Hello, Dynamite Show.
doing?
Hey.
I got my roommate here. She's a little nervous. I'm going to talk to Don and Mike. I got to teach her about ice cubes because that girl in the bathtub sucked.
What'd you say?
I got my roommate here. She's a little bit nervous. She wants to talk to Don and Mike. She wants them to teach her about ice cubes because that girl in the bathtub sucked.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
23. And who's the celebrity your roommate most resembles? The
celebrity my roommate most resembles?
Yes. Don't answer her question with a question, please.
Answer her question with a question?
You didn't understand that concept either.
No, not at all.
You know, you're really doing damage for your roommate here.
Why don't you just put her on the phone?
Okay, here she is.
Why don't you take the gag out of her mouth?
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
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 Here's the luckiest woman in America right here.
Oh, yeah?
Are you really like girlfriend, boyfriend with the moron that we were just speaking with?
No. No, no, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, really? So you're not attached to him?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. He said roommate, didn't he?
Oh, roommate. Oh, so
yeah,
it's platonic.
Yeah, yeah, right on.
Are there any other people besides you and this dullard living in the house?
Oh, yeah, there's five of us.
Oh, there are five of you. Is he the slowest one in the house?
No, actually, no, not at all.
Huh. And furthermore, I thought the girl in the bathtub did just fine, thank you.
Oh,
yes, she
no,
came
no,
on
she
strong.
No, it was up to ball. No, no, no.
What, with the scrubbing of her place and everything?
Oh,
that was
please.
Very noisy.
Please, you were asking for a visual and she didn't give it to you.
You can top that?
Sure.
All right, well, go ahead.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
Most people say Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, darker hair, though.
So it's just you and this guy living together, or is there another girl?
No, there's three girls and there's two guys.
Really?
Like the real world.
Baby.
And the rumor's upstairs.
Come and knock on our door. We've been expecting you.
I get all choked up when you play this.
I know, you're still Mrs. Norman Fell, don't you?
Like it was today.
All right, well, what are you going to do for us?
What are you going to do? He told me about the ice game.
The ice game?
Yeah.
Well, what did he tell you about it?
You know, he didn't tell me much. He told me that you were kind of going to handle that.
No. Well, why don't you tell us some more about yourself?
Some more about myself?
Yes, more description.
Let me see.
Describe yourself from head to toe, please.
Excellent idea.
Okay, curly brown hair. Pretty long, halfway down my back. Blue eyes, very light. I'm about 5'6". And...
Yes, 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 come on.
You know.
How much do you weigh?
About 125.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're, I think, right about the shoulders now.
Why don't you go south in the shoulders and describe everything between your neck and your kneecaps.
My neck and my kneecaps?
Yes. Yeah. That's the prime territory we care about on this show.
Okay. You guys are classy. We'll go there. Just
and you're real classy, bro, too.
Completely.
F you, you stupid whore. I'm not going to beg some stupid hoe to do the ice cube trick when her retarded pimp boyfriend calls us up first. Yeah, you're real classy. AF you, lady.
Flowers for a classy lady.
Hello. Hey, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Come on the air.
Yes.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, Mike and I are working out a year number two of a 7-year contract, sir.
Oh, really?
How about you?
I'm doing all right. I got a flat tire down here in Tyson, so I thought I'd just call and shoot the breeze.
Without any real forethought?
Nope, not at all. Actually, I was missing the show because my stereo's out, so I wanted to call and see if I could be a part of it, actually.
I'd say today we might be setting a record as far as getting information about the callers.
Way too much information.
Yeah.
Way too much information.
Ever since Planet Frank called, we've been doing real well with that.
I think that perhaps it started with Lewis.
Yes,
that
yes.
Perhaps Lewis was the bad omen. But
Lewis probably threw some bad karma on the show.
I thought the bathtub lady was fine. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, the first break with phone calls on this show,
right?
It's always a minefield.
Sure.
We never have a good opening break with phone calls.
We love it, though.
That's just the way it goes. But by the second break,
right.
We normally get some good callers in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once Lewis called, then everything went topsy-turvy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everyone that hears Lewis, all those slackers out there, they think that they can call in just like Lewis.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, this might be bad timing, but...
That's another great way to start off a phone call.
So I know how. Whatever happened to you guys, Sioux City? Did you ever get her straightened out, or are you gonna, or not?
I don't know, sir. We don't have an answer there.
Oh.
Be nice if it works out. We would love to have it happen. but we do not know.
Are you working on a different station or same one? Or
oh, anything? Constantly. I'm driving back and forth between D.C. and Sioux City every night trying to make that happen.
You
it's
know,
a hell of a drive, though.
I think it'd work if you moved your headquarters out to here.
It out to Sioux City?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Thank
you know something?
You.
Let's jot that down and we'll think about that one.
Thanks for the input.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
How you doing?
Move.
Hey, Mike.
Headquarters
you are the
best. To Sioux City. What?
You are the best. I tell you, you're not only funny, but you the way you tweak up a voice, it's absolutely beautiful.
Why do I feel why do I feel like there's this giant shoe that's about to drop?
No, I think
come
that
down
this is an actual
side.
Compliment. Yeah. You deserve some props.
I really appreciate. I try to do voices, and sometimes they're meh, and sometimes they're real bad, but they're never good.
Well, I appreciate that, but I was expecting. You know, it's the Lutard Karma that's on the show today. I'm just a little bit.
Why this guy's giving you so much deserved props?
Thank you very much.
Smarmy.
That's very nice. I appreciate that.
That's all I had to say.
Is that
I love you guys.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's
there
very
you
nice
go.
Of you.
Talk to you later.
Learn to take a compliment, goddammit.
Oh, jeez.
An honest agenda.
Oh, jeez.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey,
hey Mouse.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mouse, it's a compliment.
Jesus Christ. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I didn't mean it like that, really.
Oh, there she is. She's back again.
Oh, it's, oh.
I'm back again.
Listen, you common whore.
You don't even know me like that, really.
She loves you calling her that. She loves you calling her that.
Listen, you classless bitch. We have no need for your trash on this show, okay?
Oh, come on.
We got plenty of girls that'll do stuff for us with ice cubes and bathtubs, okay?
No, really.
We don't need you. Get back out on the street where you belong.
No, you don't need me. I'm nice.
Get back out on the street.
I don't want to go.
$20 a trick. Come on.
Don't send me back on the
everything you want. Me love you long time. $5. Me love you all your friends. Me love you long time.
I just want to play the game, really.
No. No, goodbye.
Me. Why do you hate me?
No.
Really?
You
really,
caused us. You have caused
really
us to hate you.
We hate you. Sorry.
Why?
You've made us hate you.
You're
no,
a tramp.
I didn't make you do anything. That's your choice. But really.
Oh,
you can play.
Somebody's been to therapy.
No, we can play.
The streetwalker's been to therapy.
But you can take me to therapy. All I want to do is play your game.
Well, listen.
That's all.
No offense. No effing way. Okay?
No effing way.
Right.
What about any game?
No.
We'll
nope.
do anything.
No.
You just want me to get the
how about
hell
the,
off
how
your
about,
show, don't you?
How about the game where every once in a while I read a story in the newspaper about a prostitute that's like had her head cut off.
Oh, God.
She jumped into a manhole cover somewhere.
That's a great game, yeah.
You know, where they lift up the manhole cover and they go, I'm Bill Curtis, Channel 2 News. Disturbing element as the string of prostitution serial murders continues tonight beneath the streets of Chicago.
So that's where you're placing me. You're taking me there, huh?
That's right.
That's right.
Somebody cut your head off, lift up a manhole cover, and shove your de-headed body down there.
Up my whatever and out my whatever.
Join us again tomorrow at the same time for Tales from the Dark Side. I'm Bill Curtis. Tales from the Dark Side.
Okay?
Okay, bro.
I think you got my vibe. I think you know where I'm coming from, okay?
I always know where you're coming from.
Right. Okay, now if this lasts any longer, it's gone really well up until now, but I think if it lasts any longer, it might get ugly, so it might be a very good time to say adieu.
Adieu, and I love you long time.
Okay.
I'm sure you do.
Okay.
Take care.
Yes, you too.
Yeah, change for a five.
I will do.
All right, see you around.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I bet when that girl gets, like, in a car with vinyl seats, she sticks to the seats of the car.
Oh, God.
I just bet she does.
And the thing is, she was enjoying herself. She could have hung in there for another good 40.
She's one of those girls.
Big time.
Yeah.
Long time.
Slap me. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, why do you have such a problem with women?
I don't have a problem with women, just with stupid whores.
Well, it seems like every single woman that ever crosses your path is a whore.
Well, there's a lot of whores out there calling the show. What do you want from me?
Rubber biscuit?
I don't know, man. It just seems like, I watched Psycho when I saw the original. It seems like you're kind of a Norman Bates to me.
You know, but I'm observing Don right now. I don't think he's having any problem with you, and you're a woman.
What do you call me, Nancy? I don't care.
You're a whore.
Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Nancy.
Want to play ping pong, Nancy?
Hey, listen, and you know what? The title of whore is something that I only pull out on special occasions. I don't call lots of women whores.
Well, I mean, it seems like not a woman goes by that you don't call
that is
a whore.
So untrue. That not is such true. A broad stroke. That is wrong.
We've had lots of women call the shows today, and only one of them has been called a whore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
No, not. That's the truth.
What do you think of that?
I would say you get 25, 30 calls from women. Only one will be called a whore.
Now, what would you say about a woman that calls and wants to do the ice cube trick, and then we start to talk to her about it, and she says, oh, yeah, you got a lot of class. Hey, she's a whore.
And that was just a little counterpoint right there.
Or she's a bad girl. There's a difference.
And maybe in your mind, why? Do you spend a lot of time with whores?
No, I spend a lot of time with bad girls, but I don't spend my time with whores.
It would seem to me someone who's calling up upset that you're using the term whore would spend a lot of time and perhaps be very close to whores.
Well, some of the stuff that you've mentioned Frida doing would be a whore. But you never call Frida a whore.
Now, you see, I know you're trying to get Don's goat, but it's not working.
Not work.
Don's goat is easy to get. He is so easy to
because
get.
Because for some reason, the term whore disturbs you. Now, let's look at the cause. What is the root of this bitterness about using the word whore?
I guess truly the real feeling is I don't really care for women to be constantly degraded, you know, by being called a whore.
Well, do you understand the element of comedy that exists on this show?
Yeah, to a point, okay. But when it's constant.
Now, listen, I'll tell you two things I think. First off,
calling Bonnie Bernstein a whore on the air, I mean, that's just kind of rude.
All right, three things I want to say. First off, I want to thank you for being such a huge fan and listening to every second of every show, which is obvious.
I try to, yes, I do.
Second, I know that you're just trying to get my goat. You're one of those guys just trying to get me mad. It ain't going to work.
I already did, but go ahead.
You think you got my goat?
Yeah, you're pissed off right now, but you're just trying to hold it back because you know I'm right.
Oh, because you know me so...
Enjoy degrading women.
You know me so good.
You did enjoy degrading women.
I enjoy degrading everybody.
Go on to the next point.
I would say seriously that this show is an equal opportunity degrader. And nobody's degraded more than the hosts of this show each and every day by talking to mucklucks like you.
And listen, you piece of crap.
I'm a piece of crap, right? Okay.
Yeah. You are.
That's what you wanted.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That's what you wanted.
I don't want to degrade one.
You know, you don't mind listening to anybody else get a hard time on this show, but when it offends your sensibilities...
Oh, it doesn't offend his sensibilities.
That's when you have a problem.
This guy just tried to get me going.
I like it when you guys are equal opportunity offenders. I don't have any problem with that.
And degraders, but you got to include degraders in there.
Constantly degrading women.
Then you better change the station then, buddy, because according to you, I do it all the time.
Well, when are you guys coming to Sacramento?
Oh, God.
Listen, F you, okay?
Oh, F you and your family, too.
Oh, no, that's...
Set there.
Hey, now, who had to use the bad language?
Who got really mad? I guess we got your goat, and now he hung up.
This feature cannot be activated because the number is outside the serving area in which the service will work.
We can't do that anyway.
I know we can't.
We can't.
I know we can't. I would have deleted it out. If I had the number, I would have deleted it out, okay?
Okay.
Right?
All right.
His mom's a whore. I just want to say that right now for the record, man.
There's that word again.
Whore. I think it's a nice word.
We've used that term for males, too. That has not just been the exclusive domain of women. We have, absolutely.
But that guy wasn't even on the level. That was just one of those guys that, like, hopes to get me yelling and screaming and everything.
And then he's the one that had the meltdown and then hung up and ran away.
Use the F word.
Another gunslinger comes to town.
He said, F you, you sea suckers.
And then he hung up.
He hung up like a scared baby he is.
Baby, what's the deal? My office is at 10800 Main Street, big boy.
Very often, if you like Mike Ditka on the show, he's backed into a corner. Hello.
Don and Mike, you guys rule. How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, great. I just wanted to tell you something real quick that I thought you guys would be very interested in. One of your favorite male whores, actually, Larry Sanders, got my new biography magazine, and in it, in the back, in the book review section, has Confessions of a Late Night Talk Show Host, the autobiography of Larry Sanders.
That's a good book.
Mm-hmm. He wrote it in the perspective of Larry Sanders, the host of the TV show, right? But they're very similar, as we've come to find out by different articles, that Gary Shandling and Larry Sanders are
pretty much the same person.
One and the same.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those books that's really easy to read. It's about 150 pages, and right. The printing is very, very big, and there's lots of pictures. So it's like Gary Shandling maybe took a weekend and like talked into a tape recorder, I thought.
And every chapter is like a page and a half, so it's not tough to get through.
Do you think my ass is fat? I mean, that's Gary Shandling talking, not necessarily Larry Sanders.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh, all right, one last call. Hello.
Don.
Hey, you whore.
I was going to ask, are you still a blowing booger whore on your wall downstairs?
Oh, you mean like on the treadmill?
I got busted big time over the weekend, and I had to crack up because it's just out of instinct. You're running on the treadmill and just...
Well, anybody that's ever done any kind of exercise like that, the one thing you don't want to do once you start is stop for any reason.
Right.
Like, you've gone this far.
Absolutely.
I hear you.
My wife came unglued, and I had to get off the treadmill and just start cracking up because it happened. But, yeah, you're a blown booger whore.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'm proud of it.
Goodbye.
Oh, man. I hate it when people degrade us like that.
Hello. Oh, I said that was the last call. Hello.
Hi, Don Mike.
Yeah.
You guys rule.
Right on, man.
I just wanted to really, really thank you because, you know, I'm here, I'm stuck in school, and I listen to you guys.
Oh, hold on. You can't use the F word.
Man, I didn't even hear it.
He said he's in effing school.
No, he didn't.
Yes, you did.
I seriously did not use the F word.
Oh, did he say the F word?
Did he say the F word, Buzz?
I believe he said he's stuck in school.
I believe Buzz is right. Buzz, you the man. That's exactly what I said.
Working great, B. Stuck in school.
Stuck in school.
All right, well.
I got this little...
Sounded like you said I'm in effing school.
I was stuck in school. You know, it could happen.
College, and I have this little earpiece stuck up my sleeve, and I'm just leaning on it the whole day listening to you guys.
And not focusing on your
teachers.
Way to go.
Absolutely not.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for the affirmation.
Now, listen, we've never talked about our new cash contest yet.
It's working great, B. Stuck in school.
He was stuck in school, Mike.
Stuck in school.
I mean, that's what we were talking about the other day. We were talking about
this is a pretty controversial stuck-in show.
If Stuckies... change their name.
That's right.
To F word E's.
Yes.
F word and EYS.
Yeah, that's right. It would be the, the nut log. The special.
Effie's nut log.
The Effie's blue plate special.
Okay, hold on. All you whores, stay right there.
Yeah, come on, whores.
We'll be right back with more show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Why do you use lemons?
The fish smell, I'm embarrassed.
Oh. I thought maybe it was for some other reasons that I didn't understand. I even went to a supermarket to look at lemons.
It's just to get the smell off. It's nothing weird. What do you do when you watch me?
I look at you. You take off your blouse, then you run the water. Then you take a bottle of gold perfume and you put it on the sink. And you slice the lemon.
The Don and Mike Show. Shut up, fat ass. Here's Don and Mike.
The thing with Madden, it's a new commercial for Tenactin.
Right.
And he's just sitting in front of the camera and he goes, "Hi, I'm John Madden." You know, he's doing this whole, like, football thing where he goes,
right.
It really hurts. Pow! Boom! The itching, the flaking. They look real close up of his big face and he goes, "I know some guys who use a fork."
Oh, man.
It was the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life.
Use a fork because you want to get every flake.
Oh, imagine that.
That's bad.
I've had some killer athlete's foot before, but I've never used a fork.
You prefer a number two pencil, though.
Yes, I do. There you go. I've used maybe the worst I've ever used is like maybe a plastic knife. You know, like
serrated edge?
Yeah, like the kind you get like in a picnic basket.
You get a good scratch, though.
When you go to Boston Market. And it's John Madden's big face, and it really does a real close-up. I know guys have even used a fork.
More salad, Mr. Summerall?
Oh, man, a fork at the dinner table. Then right back to eating again.
Hello, Don on my show.
Hi, this is Sam Huff.
Hey, Sam.
I just called to say, hope you guys have a great vacation, Don and Mike.
Thank you. Thanks for checking in, Sam.
And for your contest, for those guys that go out with those people with those things, all I can say is they came out on the short end of the stick.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
They came up on the short end of the stick.
I love it when he calls in.
He always calls. He's so nice. Sam Huff.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Like to go on the air?
What?
Like to go on the air? Don?
Duh.
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 I didn't know if the calls were screened. I'm a first-time caller.
Listen, that's... No. Not acceptable. That's not a free pass in life. You're a first-time caller. Have you listened to this show before?
Yes, sir. About last month.
Okay. Well, then obviously you know that we have, like, 24 phone lines here. And because Christine has a very hard time keeping her mind on her work, many times... I take the calls on screen because, frankly, she's just too slow answering the telephones.
This is like a brisk swim in a chilly lake. Just dive right in, sir.
Come on.
Okay. I caught half the comment with the woman. I guess she wore padded or fake.
Are you really? Is every thought that comes out of your brain going to be this slowly expressed?
No, sir, it's not.
Okay.
All right, please pick up the pace.
So, Christine, okay. Talking about Christine when she wore the fake boobs, or the lady that called and was talking about wearing the fake boobs with her husband?
Yes, the lady that called and wore the fake boobs with her husband, and she made a comment as having a little more. I can't remember the exact words she used, but.
Shocker.
Self-confidence.
Right.
And have you ever been up late at night and watched these commercials for men with hair loss? And they create almost a little degrading. I am, bald and
another shocker.
Another shocker. I take offense to those because they depict men with that situation. If the role were reversed and they showed a woman who went through.
Did anyone ever tell you you were a moron?
I'm sorry, we're getting some CB interference here.
There was something that came in over the line there as you were thinking.
Okay, can I continue?
Are you some kind of moron?
No, I just wondered what your opinion would be if they showed that type of commercial with the woman that had a breast.
Listen, frankly, the story has gone on so long, I don't even remember what your question was.
No, it wasn't a question, it was a matter of an opinion.
Well, there may have been a point in all of that, but you stumbled and stammered so much it was impossible to find the point.
They're awful. You're just awful. Try writing us a letter.
That's much better.
Don and Mike, North Pole.
Use some sort of typewriter or word processor.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, sorry we offended you.
Oh, he showed us. I thought that went very well.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
How you guys doing? Hey, this is Jay in Sacramento. I'm the guy that was stabbed about a couple weeks ago. No.
Look, hold on. I'm not going to yell at every caller today, although I certainly could. But as I recall, you were not stabbed. You fell on, what did you fall on, a knife or was it a broomstick or something?
It was an iron fence.
Yeah, you fell on it. You weren't stabbed. Yeah. Why do you insist on saying you were stabbed?
Right.
I was medically stabbed. But hey, guys.
No, wait, no.
We went through this with you the last time you called the show and made a big deal about saying that you had been stabbed when, in fact, you had not been stabbed.
And the medical term would be impaled or punctured.
Okay, impaled, I guess. I was not stabbed by somebody else. I was stabbed by
Whenever you say stabbed, it definitely creates the illusion. Mm-hmm. And the false illusion in this case of somebody actually stabbing you.
You were not stabbed.
Do you see the confusion it creates, though, when I say I'm stabbed? Or if I went through the explanation process of what, technically happened?
No, you just go up and say, hey, Don and Mike, it's me, Jason, the guy that fell on the fence.
Oh, it's Jay.
Jay.
All right, well, same point.
Hey, but I'm all right now, and I just want to say have a good vacation, that's all.
Okay.
I love you guys.
Okay, thank you. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, I was just wanting to call because I wanted a birthday spank.
Oh, baby, I mean a birthday spank.
Or birthday spanks, I should say.
Spanks. Spanks for the memories.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm in the mood for it today. How old are you, please?
I'm in the mood for it, too. Well, today I turned 30.
30, the big 3-0.
I'm feeling kind of old. However, I kind of thought to myself, after listening to you guys for the last couple of months, that maybe if I got spanked, I wouldn't feel quite as old as I feel right now.
Maybe. Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Tia Carrera.
Ooh. Oh, really? From Wayne's World. Wayne's World.
Well, I'm sort of half Oriental. I'm kind of one of those, like, mixed breeds.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Right. You can't chew.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, would you be?
Oh, yeah. Except I'm a little more buxom, I think, than she is.
Oh,
and,
baby. All right. I'm already looking forward to this.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit.
I'm sure you are, but no need to say that. Why don't you be a good girl, please, and pull down your slacks?
Okay. No, when Christine answered my call, she asked me if, where I was and, what I was doing. I already told her I was in traffic and I had my pants down.
Ah. You had your pants down. Beautiful.
Oh, very good. Truck driver already beat this horn at me.
What about your underpants?
Oh, my underpants are down, honey.
They're down. So right now, you've got nothing on under there.
I have my top on. But
no down pants. There. Down there.
Oh, nothing down there.
Her bottom is bare.
Just my shoes.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Okay, well, before we spank you, how would you like to stir the soup?
You know what? Whatever you guys want to do.
It's been a long time since we've had a woman stir the soup on this show.
Well, you know what? I'll take whatever I can get.
Oh, go ahead. Play the piano.
Do you know what I mean by stir the soup?
I'm not sure.
Oh. Okay, hold on. Rob? I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Rob, please explain to her exactly what we'd like her to do. Rob will now explain to her off the air, because Rob is so sexual.
Nobody explains it better.
We leave that job for him.
Well, ma'am, I'll tell you right now, what? Oh, dear. Oh, dearie, dear. He's taking him a long time.
Okay.
Okay.
Me too, baby.
Okay.
Right. What'd you say, Rob?
She's a good one.
All right.
Okay, all right. Well, now, Janet, did Rob explain that to you?
Yes, he did.
All right. Well, is it soup yet?
It's getting there.
So you're doing that as we speak?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really? Are you really?
Yes, I am.
Now, don't kid us. Really do it.
I better not get into an accident.
Right.
But, yes.
You're stirring a soup right now?
Oh, yeah.
Really? What kind of a stir are you doing?
Kind of round and round.
A round and round stir?
Oh, yeah.
A round and round stir.
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Good answer, yeah.
Now, let me ask...
You guys are making me crazy here.
Yeah, mutual.
Sure.
Now, let me ask you a question about the spoon.
What's that?
Okay, the spoon that you're using?
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying? The spoon that is probably on your right hand? Are you using the spoon on your right hand?
Yes, my right hand.
Okay. Are you using the spoon that is closest to your thumb?
No.
Which spoon are you using?
Second from your thumb?
Yep. Middle.
Middle. Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Good. All right. How much of your finger can you see right now?
Can I see right now?
Oh, no, I guess you probably can't see any, but can you tell me, is it knuckle yet? Is it knuckle time? Knuckle sandwich with that soup?
See, I don't know where I'm supposed to be. Do you want me to go there? I'll go there.
Yeah, go there.
All right, I'll go there. Happy birthday.
You just better hope I don't get into any accident here. Oh. Wait a minute. Hang on a second.
Okay. What, are you pulling over?
No, I'm not pulling over. Uh-huh. No, but... Yep. I'm up to a knuckle.
Up to a knuckle.
I'm up to a knuckle.
All right, then if you're up to a knuckle now, stir. Stir clockwise.
Okay, I'm stirring clockwise.
All right, now stir a little faster.
Okay.
Faster.
Oh.
Faster.
I'm getting there.
All right, let me know when you're there.
I thought I was going to get spanked.
Oh, you
guys.
Are. Don't worry, you're going to get spanked.
That'll be your reward.
Well, I'm going clockwise, and it's getting there.
Okay. Is it more like soup or chili?
Oh, please.
Oh,
I like soup.
Chili. Oh.
Well, I don't know.
You know. It hasn't been that long that it's got to be chili,
okay.
Guys.
All right. All right, listen. Please. Last question.
What's that?
Would you like to lick the spoon?
Oh, God.
No, I'd rather have you lick the spoon.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now you're ready to be spanked?
Sure, I'm ready to be spanked.
I bet you are. Hey, just for snicks.
I'm ready to be spanked.
What road are you on? Can you tell us what roadway you're on?
I'm on Old Georgetown Road.
Old Georgetown Road. Watch the traffic.
Okay, beautiful.
It doesn't smell like a cigar.
People around here, they probably think I'm nuts.
Yeah, I bet they do. All right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, most people won't mind.
Being as I know that your pants are down, we'll...
You know, only the truck drivers, if they look, and if they're listening, they'll look.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't care.
Of course they'll look.
I don't
care. It's their job as truckers.
It doesn't matter.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Soup time.
Soup.
Oh.
Soup. Stir the soup.
Soup's on.
Yeah, soup's on.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be using the skillet to spank you. And
okay.
Mike, of course, will be using his hands.
Yes, I'll be using
What happened to the axe?
The axe?
I thought you guys missed the axe.
Oh, the ice pick was a long time ago.
The ice pick.
Listen, girls didn't respond to the ice pick. That's why I had to switch.
I respond to the ice pick.
That's why I had to switch to the aluminum skillets.
You know what? Whatever you guys use, it's fine with me.
Yeah, he uses the skillet. I use my meaty drumstick.
Okay, are you ready, Janet?
That's fine.
Right, okay.
Oh, I'm ready.
Here we go, and one.
Oh!
That's right.
Oh!
Two.
Oh! Oh!
Three.
Oh!
Four.
Oh!
Five.
Oh!
You know what? I have soup. You know what I like to do?
Oh my God.
I like to get a piece of bread.
Yes, and dip it.
Dip it
in the soup.
Very good.
Okay. Number six. Number seven. Number eight. Number nine. Ten. 11.
12.
God, keep 13. Going.
All right, give you one more.
14.
Mike?
Technically, you get another one, Don. You actually get 15.
Oh, okay.
15, there you go.
All right, here we go. Let me get these Smithfield hands at the ready. Are you ready? Here we
yes,
go. 16.
Yes.
Yes. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. 30.
Oh, God.
I would kill for some egg drop soup right now.
Oh, you guys are good.
Yeah. Well, listen, happy,
oh my God.
Happy birthday.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. Nothing can top this.
Mm-hmm.
My, you know what? I feel bad because if my boyfriend listens to this in rush hour traffic, he can't top this.
Wow,
I don't think he can. All right, well,
I don't think he can.
Happy birthday, Janet.
Thanks Thank a lot, you, you guys. Hey, you guys are great.
Oh, right back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Right back at you.
She was tempted to use a fork, but used a spoon.
Mm-hmm. Didn't get every last drop.
Huh? I wonder if that was chunky soup.
That's right. Well, you know, somewhere between soup and chunky and chili is chunky soup.
Hello. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, Don and Mike show.
I just wanted to ask Janet when she was going to be on the Beltway because I'm in a truck and I wanted to be able to look at her.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Truckers.
How horny are you? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don. Hello, Mike.
Hey, here he is calling the show. It's Real Life Poison.
Poison's on the phone.
Poison. Here's his brand new logo is the skull and crossbones.
0-4.
Yeah, here he is, everybody. Maryland Terrapin fans, I know you're wondering why you lost the game last night.
He was there.
Here's the answer. It's because Dennis Poison Murphy was in the arena.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, well.
It wasn't a pretty sight.
Oh, you've weaved your magic, Dennis. It's been a magical week for you. First, you ruined our show from Daytona Beach. Then you ruined the Maryland Terrapins' NCAA hope.
Oh, God, no.
Should have checked that horoscope before you left on that trip, Dennis.
I'm so disgusted. I'm on my way back now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez. Oh, I'm so pissed at Maryland. I'm pissed.
Where are you calling from, Dennis?
I'm calling.
At a payphone?
At a McDonald's.
At a shocker, at a McDonald's. What state are you in besides a state?
Virginia.
State of denial. Oh, you're already back in Virginia.
Yeah, I'm on Interstate 81, exit 264.
Oh, just in case any fans want to come out to see you, right?
Hey, you know what? The 106 is a blowtorch. I can get you a Harrisonburg.
Dennis, did you bring a lot of clothes for this trip?
Basically, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I bought 2 pairs of clothes.
Now that you've had a chance to reflect on...
2 pairs for 6 days, that's a good idea.
Now that you've had a chance to reflect on what went wrong in Daytona Beach, looking back at that failed excursion, how would you change things, Dennis?
How I would change things is I should have had a cell phone with me, and I would have got down close to the action.
And, Dennis, what was the highlight of your dismal week?
The highlight of my dismal week?
Yeah, was there anything that actually went right?
Actually, a couple of guys brought me a beer at a bar in Daytona, so that's probably my highlight.
You know what's depressing is that last night, I guess it was, when Maryland was losing so bad, I was slipping around on MTV they were doing highlights of previous spring break broadcasts.
Oh, didn't it look hot down there?
And, oh, my God, on MTV there was... girls up on stage taking their clothes off,
right.
And guys start taking their pants off, and they actually started having sex. I mean, of course, they were doing that thing where they were blocking it out like they do
right.
on Cops.
Right.
But all the MTV VJs are going, hey, it's like when you go to Daytona, this just happens. Girls just take their tops off, and people just start having sex, and they're screaming at the TV, no, that's not how it happened.
Not at all. None of you standing by the Rice Krispie tent.
No. All right. All right. Well, listen, goodbye. Goodbye, Poison.
Hey, Don?
Yeah, Poison.
Have a good vacation on the boat, though.
Thanks, Poison.
And Mike?
Yes, Mr. Poison.
Are you in Florida?
Yes, sir.
Can you call?
Yeah, I'm going to go down there to the Rice Krispie tent with my whole family.
All right, bye, Poison.
Maryland, you blew it again.
Look in the mirror there, Poison.
I'm looking in the mirror, and it's not a pretty sight.
Right on.
Oh, by the way, could I tell you I'm going to be a dancer at a bachelorette party?
You're going to be a dancer at a bachelorette party?
There's a lucky lady.
April 10th, by the way.
All right, hold on here. I got some people want to yell at you.
Oh,
Dennis. Dennis, don't drop the S-bomb, Dennis.
He's in the broadcaster,
oh,
Dennis.
Oh,
Dennis.
All right, hello. You want to yell at Dennis? This is Brian?
Yes, how you doing?
Hey,
I want to yell at that retarded a-hole. I'm a Maryland fan, and he lost it for us.
I'm a 0-4 so far.
Why don't you just go kill yourself, Dennis?
How many games has Maryland lost all year long?
Six.
So out of the, and they won like 28 games, right?
Yes, they did.
So out of the six games they lost, you were there for four of them?
Only three out of the six.
Only a 50% loss ratio.
Yeah, because the other three were all alone, so I couldn't be accountable.
Did you watch the other three on television?
Yeah.
Ah, 100%. 100% poison. All right, thank you, Brian. Thank you, Dennis.
Oh.
That's Dennis Murphy, everybody.
Poison. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, we just got to tell you, we think the Janet girl was faking.
Hey, well, listen, don't ruin our parade, okay?
That was bad.
What was bad? That was very good.
The vocal was bad.
Bad
that was
how?
Worse than a porno bad.
You mean you could do a better job?
Well, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I can't right now.
Why?
Sure. Well, I'm at work.
So?
So?
Don't you have a cubicle or something?
No, I don't have a cubicle.
You called us.
Well, I know, but we're all, like, standing here.
Well, just...
It was like a mutual decision that...
Well, then all of you
thinking.
Should. Well, all of you should.
Let me just see. All these people that think that she was not really stirring the soup, are they all women?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I rest my case, Your Honor.
But stirring the soup don't sound like that. That was not a good soup
stir. It don't sound like that.
No.
Well, I would think that stirring the soup sounds different for everybody, little miss.
I would say some stirring the soup, probably there's no sound whatsoever.
Then that's not a good stirrer.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, we wouldn't know because you're not stirring right now, Julia Child. So as far as we're concerned, that was grade A stuff.
Grade A?
Grade A stuff.
No, that was too fake.
And you're Miss Saltpeter. That's who you are.
Hey, don't call me.
You're the mood ruiner right here.
That's right. Your sound would probably be like, yeah, 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 yeah.
Miss Cold Shoulder.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. That was Miss Poison calling the show.
Too bad we couldn't have hooked her up with Dennis. Now he's going to call back.
Then they could have baby poison. Hello, Donna Mike's show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how y'all doing today? Hello? Are y'all there?
I wish there was a visual so you people could just see me rubbing my face right now. It really...
Yeah, I was talking about the woman that was stirring her soup.
It really gets me when someone says, how you doing?
He said it, I think, four times.
Yeah, four times in a row. Can't you tell how we're doing? We're wearing our hearts on our goddamn sleeves on this show. Please. I was doing great until you asked me how I was doing four times in a row.
Well, I'm just trying to be cordial.
Well, you were cordial and you said it once and you said it three other times.
Well, I was repetitively cordial.
Repetitively cordial.
Okay, what? Hold on, let me just stop you right now to say, side bet that whatever this guy called to say is stupid.
Let's see.
Anybody want to take me on that?
No, I don't want to take you on that I'm bet. With you.
That's not a side bet. That's a full-fledged bet that's probably going to win.
No, that's a side bet is something that's, you know, it's like a sidebar here on the show where we all bet on what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you call to say besides, hi, how you doing?
Oh, I just called to ask if why you didn't ask the girl if you wanted to lick the bowl.
Oh, I was a winner.
There it is.
I was a winner.
All that for that.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. And you idiot, I asked her if she would lick the spoon.
Sure, that's the thing that counts.
Please, come on. Hello? Hello?
I hear breathing.
Donna Mike Show. Hello there.
Donna Mike.
Have I mentioned how much I'm going to miss all of you people next week?
It's so hard on the time delay. It's hard to tell.
And you know what's really sad?
What's that?
You know what's really sad? It's probably about Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah.
I really will miss.
Sure, you want to get back to it.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, one day's a good vacation, but then by Tuesday, after just being with my family for, like, three whole days, I'll really start to think, I wish I was back doing the show.
Especially if your family comes down to the breakfast table and says, hello, how you doing?
How you doing?
Hello. And then you answer, and then they say, hello, how you doing?
How you doing?
Well, it was just so darn quick. Hey, right. I just wanted to make sure that Dennis, I'm calling from Spokane, I just want to make sure he didn't watch the Zags this weekend.
Oh, Poison. Gonzaga. They're from the state of Washington.
Yeah, they're from Spokane. One of your, a bunch of your loyal listeners.
No, I don't think there's. I think it's only the Maryland connection that Dennis has. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Last call. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to stir my soup for you.
Really? You want to stir your soup?
Yeah. Well,
we've developed into quite a trend here.
Mm. That's fine. What's your first name? Hello?
Oh,
tease.
Oh. Could be a tease, could be a panic.
Could be a guy.
Yeah.
Could be any of the above.
Hi, I want to stir my soup for you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Wait, yo, Nick, come hit this right here. You need to hit this.
Oh, yeah. Hit that. No, I appreciate it, but I told my wife I wouldn't drink tonight. Besides, I got a big day tomorrow. But you guys have a great time.
A big day? Doing what?
Well, actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring. Stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like two pornographic Imagineers, Don and Mike.
This fight was more ridiculous than all the local weathermen put together.
Oh, I felt so ripped off. I felt like that way with the Don King production before.
Paid my $50 like everybody else did. Stayed up until 11:30 till the stupid fight started. And I've heard nobody say this in all of the complaints about how Lennox Lewis should have won the fight.
Right.
Even before they announced the decision, which of course I thought sucked like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I thought it was a crappy fight.
You know, that's a good point, and I totally agree with you on that, because it was a garbage fight. I mean, compared to previous heavyweight fights, and even non-heavyweight fights, there was a great Foreman fight that I remember a couple years ago.
You watch that guy, these guys, hugging each other.
Sure.
And, even as early as the fourth round.
Yeah.
Where they would just do that thing where they would hug each other. And what was with Lennox Lewis when he could have just punched Holyfield and knocked him out? Instead, he would put his arms down to his side.
It's like he didn't want to run out of gas.
And he would stick his chin out, like to say, hey, come on, I dare you to hit me. One time, Holyfield did pop him in the face.
Yeah, when he really was doing it, when it was really obvious, and Holyfield got a little mad. But, I mean, nothing lasted. There were never any sustained exchanges where there could have even been a knockdown. It was a terrible, terrible heavyweight fight. And they didn't mention that because of all the controversy with...
There's not going to be a controversy, Mike.
No, it was not a good fight, even before they announced the verdict.
I did read that a ref told the two fighters in the eighth round to mix it up, to tweak it up a little bit, because it was obvious to him that they weren't fighting.
Well, it was awful. It was just a lot of guys, these two guys, Holyfield and Lewis, just kind of dancing around each other. And then they do that thing where I guess it takes a lot of physical endurance to be a boxer.
It's incredible.
But please,
it's the most draining thing in the world.
If you're getting paid $20 million, you would think you could go for 36 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's how long it is. It's 12 3-minute rounds.
And I guess Lennox Lewis realized that he could just jab at Holyfield, and he could go the whole fight keeping Holyfield at bay by just jabbing at him. And it was a terrible fight, but the fact of the matter was he did score a lot more than Holyfield. And then, I was telling you, I think about the people, the gamblers that were betting on Lewis, who was the underdog, and were all excited at the end of that fight. And then then it comes out that it's a draw, which is just horrible.
A draw?
Oh, that sucks.
Please, a draw? And I didn't know. I guess I knew this, but I never paid attention before this fight, that when you score a fight, you can either give one guy 10 and give the other guy 9. It's like you have to give one guy 10 and give the other guy 9.
Right.
How come, you couldn't give in some rounds Holyfield, a 2?
Right.
And some rounds, let's face it, Lennox Lewis wasn't a 10 in some rounds, but many of the rounds I would score
it's the cold and flu season, but
I would score an 8 for Lewis and maybe, in some rounds, a 1 for Holyfield.
Yeah, I mean, Holyfield didn't come there to fight, and it was just kind of a drag. And then, what gets me is they're all dumping on Don King. At the end, all the announcers, the color guys, aren't they the guys that get paid by Don King? And they say, well, this is a typical Don King production, but aren't they working for him?
Yeah, well,
it's kind of weird to
indirectly,
say
that. But
I'm working for him, and you're working for him. He's really the head of CBS, Mike.
And they're all making it sound like there's some kind of fix. And if that really is the case, with the amount of money at stake and the amount of people that care about the outcome of this fight, they're going
to
have.
I wouldn't doubt that there's a fix. I wouldn't doubt that Don King went to these judges before and said, "Listen, if we can just get a split decision, I get a rematch in 6 months."
And that's the ruling that they came out when it was investigated. Well, they'll have to fight again in 6 months. Well,
and
that's not
good.
All the schmucks like you and me that paid $50 for it, even though now we're real mad, and now we say we're not going to pay $50 for it, you know, come August, when it's going to be fight time again, I'll lay down to $50 again.
Well, I tell you, there's a guy that's sitting in, you know, in jail in Maryland right now that I think the heavyweight fight game needs him back. Because, I mean, that's one thing about Mike Tyson. When he's in a fight, you know that there's going to be something going on. You know there's going to be action. You'll never see that kind of clinching for a decision. And I believe it or not, with all that said about Mike Tyson, you know, we all love to see him in a heavyweight fight because he comes in and he's either going to lose or he's going to knock the guy out. I mean, there's really rarely anything in between.
I was angry enough to have gotten in the ring myself and kicked some ass on Saturday night. You know, by the time I got, like, to the sixth round, to the seventh round, and they're dancing around, then I kept thinking, okay, one of these rounds, one of these guys is going to cut loose, man.
And nobody did.
No. No, nobody did. It was just the dancing around. I give Holyfield a little credit. In one of the later rounds, maybe the 11th round, he did start to punch a little more.
He tried, but Lennox Lewis was so much bigger and had so much longer a reach that he could, you know, keep jabbing him and keep him away. But it really, I thought these guys are, you know, the heavyweight champs. They're supposed to mix it up a little bit.
Sucked on ice.
Man, and you drop that kind of money. I mean, just think, I mean, you bought it. I bought it. Think of all the people
that bought
it.
Like 10 million people bought it.
Unbelievable.
What's
money?
10 million times 50, Buzz?
That's at least $500 million.
How much, Robbie?
$500 million.
$500 million.
Unbelievable.
Almost enough to buy the Washington Redskins. For all the people that paid for that fight.
Unreal. No, it was very disappointing.
There's nothing we can do about it.
No.
I mean, we're going to waste a lot of our valuable time and your valuable time listening, bitching about it. But
there's a very good chance I will not buy the rematch.
Oh, you will, because there's going to be so much time going. I said the same thing on Saturday night.
Yeah.
But then by the time I got up Sunday, I thought, you know what? I would kind of like to see those guys fight again.
Oh, man, but I hope they fight.
What if the investigation turns up a fix?
Well, that'll be very cool. But, I mean, are they really doing, are they still doing an
Who's
investigation?
Who's investigating? Giuliani?
The state of New York. The attorney general is investigating.
Oh, please.
But,
that's,
you know,
that's more of a fix than Don King.
That's been said, yes.
Man, I'd love to see some investigative work on that, because it really was weird. Especially the judge that picked Holyfield. That was, Holyfield's hometown.
Well,
they were interviewing people that said he lost
it. It was
the fight.
A woman, Mike.
Yes.
I'd just like to point that out.
It was.
It was a woman that said Holyfield
won. Williams. Gene Williams?
Yeah. Williams?
No, my dear, you know absolutely nothing about the fight game.
So the guy from Britain, is he the guy that picked
a draw?
A draw.
Who's, you know, I'd like to be that guy. You know, I'm sure going back home, he's going to be real popular.
Right. The guy that was from some other country, like South Africa or something, he picked...
He did the right
Lewis.
Thing. Yeah, he picked Lewis.
And then the lady, she picked Holyfield.
That's correct. And it just didn't make any sense.
Crazy.
I mean, it was a bad enough fight. And you're right, that guy, because of that terrible decision... What was ignored was the fact that this was just a wimpy, lousy heavyweight champion.
And I don't know how they do that. When they had the punch count on the bottom of the screen, they would say, okay, Holyfield has connected on 87 punches, and Lewis has connected 140. I kind of like maybe three.
Well, there's a guy down there at ringside right next to those guys that's writing down, checking a box for every time. And you know all that time Lennox Lewis is jabbing every single time. That counts as a punch thrown and a punch delivered.
It should count only if you really smack the guy in the face and like if his head goes back, like if he's in a car accident.
That would make it much more interesting.
They count both. They count the punches and the connects. So there are two separate tallies.
Hey, what was Holyfield doing, though, at the beginning? When he just grabbed Lewis around the legs and lifted him up?
Oh, yeah, he tackled him. I don't know what was going on there, either.
You never know what's going to happen.
What was that junk they put on their faces? That, like...
Vaseline?
KY jelly or something they put all over their faces?
That's it, you know, so they don't get cut. That's it. And if they'll dab it on thicker when I think Lennox Lewis actually got cut.
Had a nice big cut on his eye.
On the nose, and so they lay that stuff on. You know, I put it on also before I come in here.
Well, you put on lots of makeup before we do the show, though.
Yeah, well, you know, I like to look good.
We appreciate it, Mike. Every day you come in here looking pretty.
You
look good.
Well, you know, DJ's got to look pretty.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Donnie G.
Buddy.
Hey, you know, if Don King had a way to fix it, you know that the odds on the draw were 25-1.
You mean you actually could have bet, like in Vegas, that it was going to be a draw?
It's a real vague line. A lot of people don't bet it, but if he just, for instance, bet $1 million, he gets 25 back.
Man, it was 25-1 for a draw?
I did not know that.
It's so shaky that they've actually got that option out there to bet on. Now, you know, find the guys that bet the big bucks on that and then, you know, trace them and follow them around and find out who they're associated with.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, that Vaseline stuff that they put on the face,
yeah,
that's also used so that when, like, the guy punches you in the face, it'll slide off easier so it won't have as much impact.
Oh.
So just like you'll hit them, but you won't get the full effect. So it'll just slide off with the Vaseline and the leathery glove.
You know, we used to know a guy who played for the Redskins. He plays for the Broncos now. This guy, Stinky, Mark Schlereth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, great guy.
He used to put Vaseline on his jersey all the time. So that when defensive guys would come over and try to grab his jerseys,
right,
they wouldn't be able to grab on. He's a big cheater.
He is. He is a good guy, too. Like this show a lot.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
Howdy.
Hello.
Radio gods.
Hi.
Mike, do me a favor.
What?
Holyfield.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that. I was actually...
Holyfield.
I was actually...
Holyfield, the real deal.
Well, you know something?
What'd you call him? Hollyfield?
Well, after that
fight... Hollyfield all afternoon. Drive me crazy.
No, you know something? I don't care, because after that fight, he's going to be Hollyfield. Like boughs of holly. Like deck the halls with boughs of holly.
Holyfield.
And it's H-O-L-L-Y, so you say holy, I say holly.
I think he says it.
And there's only one L.
Just one L.
I think it's H-O. It's really...
See? I was always putting the two L's in there,
so go.
I was at boughs of holly. Now I know.
Holyfield. Holy crap, that was an awful fight.
Yeah, and I didn't think Lennox Lewis did much better either.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hey, I still think it's funny to see a brother talk with a British accent.
Hello.
What? I'm sorry.
There's
Hello.
A tie.
What?
If there's a tie, why isn't there sudden death?
I like that.
And wouldn't it be great if those guys really fought?
Sure.
And when I say sudden death, I mean it.
Real death?
One of them would have to kill the other. Now, that is worth $50.
Yeah, you got to get Ultimate Fighting for that. You're getting closer with Ultimate Fighting to that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, wanted to know if you guys heard that Darian Chapman on Saturday morning's Sports Report dropped the F-bomb on TV.
Really?
Yeah, about quarter after six, he was getting into his broadcast about the basketball tournament, and he just let it fly. As soon as he did, he said, "Oh my God," and put his head on the desk, and they cut right off of him.
Really? I played a basketball game. That guy was on my team on the charity basketball game that I played on Friday night.
He's a multi-sport player because he played in the hockey game with me. Darian Chapman making the benefit rounds and playing every sport.
Pretty intense. I'll tell you, most guys on the team hated him because he thought he was playing like in the NCAAs or something.
Yeah, he was intense in the hockey game, too. I think he's a very intense man.
So he dropped the F-bomb on TV?
Dropped the F-bomb, and they cut off of him, went to commercial.
And
the guy that chairs the morning news just apologized for what happened, and they kept right on going.
Was that Ira?
I think so.
In what context did he drop it? What did
we start? Starting to talk about it, and he says, "What the F?" And then we realized he said, "Oh, my God," and he put his head down on the desk.
Oh,
and they cut right off of him.
What a kid.
And you know that George Michael is probably screaming at him now.
Sure.
Exactly.
What were you thinking? I'm too old for this.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I'm 60.
Four.
I'm 64. Cotton picking Darian Chapman. What is it that George always says? Oh, yeah.
For cockamamie.
What are you doing here? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, the end of the fight when those guys were talking about how all these fights that are fixed are all involving Don King.
Yeah.
The reason they were saying that stuff is they don't work for him.
Okay, maybe they don't.
Those guys work for HBO.
Yeah, but doesn't Don King have a deal with HBO and
with TVKO?
Very nice deal.
Don King's deal with Showtime is with his own pay-per-view company, King Vision.
So the checks are not signed by Don King that plays Jim Lampley.
There is no proof of that. Oh, and I hate Jim Lampley.
Oh, I hate it. He's the worst.
Hi, everybody. This is Jim Lampley. Those announcers couldn't have been worse because
Larry Merchant is the worst, too.
George Foreman, who I think we're all agreed is a very nice guy and you know, has wonderful cooking machines.
Right.
The guy is just as dumb as a box of rocks.
I disagree. I think George Foreman's the best analyst. I think George Foreman...
I think he's awful.
You do? You don't like him?
I think he's awful. The combination of the announcers between Jim Lampley with his lisp and George Foreman who just...
I wish they'd send George Foreman into the ring instead of Larry Merchant. Larry won 1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, 1,000. He's trying to do the post-fight interview and say...
Did you feel that you were... I'm a snake from under the rock.
That's a pretty good Larry Merchant you were just doing.
What did you say that...
Hello, this is Jim Lampley. I'm wearing my beautiful tuxedo. It's going to be a super fight tonight. Hi, everybody. Oh, a flurry of blows by Lennox Lewis.
Hi, this is Jim Lampley.
Yeah, he's too chatty, too. Like in the early rounds, he is just running his mouth. It's like, shut up.
Hello, Dynamite.
Hi, Don. This is Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Did you see Schindler's List over the weekend?
Schindler, buddy. I watched a couple minutes of it last night. It's a hard movie to watch and not get bummed out.
It sure is.
Schindler, there's that scene that where he's about to shoot people off his balcony.
Yeah? Oh, you mean the Nazi guy? Right.
Yeah. And they showed his wife, his woman in there. They showed booby.
Oh, you know, that's the double standard of television, that if you're doing something, a movie that is reflected as being educational...
Which it is, right. Yeah.
Then you can show... Not only do you show boobs and places...
But he said the F word as well.
Yeah, they showed guys' penises. Yeah. The scene when they're at the death camp and they're
that
deciding...
That was totally unedited, and, you know, and I guess the sponsors, you know, didn't interrupt twice during the entire thing.
Yeah, they're deciding who's going to go where. You right. know, you see guys walking around with the... Mm-hmm. Their big penises hanging out.
And we, I guess we would be unable to convince the networks that certain films that we would like to see would be would have educational value.
Like Boob Town.
There you go. We would not be able to convince them of that.
Tonight, NBC presents Boob Town with only two commercial interruptions.
All right.
Yeah, I watched it for a second, but it's too bumming, man.
It's the only movie I ever went to where everyone in the theater, when I saw it the first time, sat down through the credits and then actually waited a few more seconds because everybody was kind of that freaked out.
You know,
by that movie.
Steven Spielberg walked out on this new movie, Life is Beautiful, this Benigni movie, because he thought it made too light of the Holocaust. He thought it should be treated much more seriously and more
Spielberg.
The way that he treated it.
I'm starting to hate Steven Spielberg. You know that?
You know, I saw Life is Beautiful, and I can see his point, but I think in a different way. I mean, it kind of says the same thing, but it's just in a different way. I'm surprised that he didn't track with that.
I'm starting to hate him. I really am. Just because.
Just because he's rich.
Yeah, I'm just starting to hate him because he's such a Poindexter know-it-all.
He's richer than rich.
Yeah. I hate you, Steven Spielberg.
I still don't hate him as much as Hank's buddy. Hank's buddy is the one.
Oh, Tom Hanks' buddy?
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
I hate Spielberg's buddy more than I think than I hate Hank's buddy.
Oh, Hank's buddy makes me sick at those award shows.
Yeah, but Spielberg's buddy is just so full of himself. As full of himself as Hank's buddy is, Spielberg's buddy is more full of him with his baseball cap.
Yeah, please. I'm watching somebody else that's also got that, you know, full of himself thing. I forgot exactly who. Oh, Jason Alexander. I was watching him over the weekend. He's in, I think he's in that Cinderella. My daughter was watching a tape of Cinderella.
Yeah.
The made for TV with Whitney Houston and Brandy in that.
Nice gig. Nice gig, George Costanza.
And it's like, you know, he's being an actor. It's like, Jason, I can sing, I can dance, and I'm an actor. And I used to like, hey, stay as George Costanza. That's why I like
him. He'll be on an upcoming Star Trek Voyager for you.
Oh, good. You know, that's a sign his career is really going down the toilet.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw Billy Crystal being interviewed over the weekend, again about Analyze This, which was the number one movie again. I can't figure that out.
Right. It's very sad.
This time I saw Billy Crystal being interviewed real seriously and talking about what a genius he is. Okay? Talking about himself, what a genius he is. He's talking about the movie Analyze This, and he says, Harold Ramis, the director, Harold said to me, the scene... Where I go in and talk to the mob bosses
Robert De Niro. That trailer of that's terrible.
Harold said to me, Billy, we're throwing out the script. Just go in and ad-lib because you are so funny. Right? He's talking about himself like that. And then they show a clip of the movie, and it's where Billy Crystal stands up and goes, hey, I'm Joe blah, 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 blah. You may have known me as... Willie the Kneecap, or Freddy the Nose, one point, I was known for one night as Phyllis Rubinsky.
Yeah.
It's like, not funny, and they come back from the clip, and Billy Crystal goes, yeah, I ad-libbed that entire scene.
Yeah, see, which is, you know, taking away credit from anybody that wrote the script.
I wouldn't be bragging about that if I was Billy Crystal. I'd be saying that I was reading something that somebody else wrote for me.
Imagine if you're the writer, you know, and you actually maybe wrote a very funny scene, put a little more thought into it, and then they say, go ahead, ad-lib the whole thing, and it's trash.
Oh, boy. Why is everybody so full of themselves?
Everybody
How come
is.
People can't be humble, Mike, like you and I?
Hello?
Most humble people in show business.
Thank you, Rob. Right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
And if you think we're whining and complaining about all these movie people, yes, you're absolutely right.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, I have a theory about why they allow the boobage on Schindler's List.
Well, I think you just explained
what
the reason
I just told you why, because it's educational, because it's a history piece.
But it's a little more than that. It's because they don't think that you will be able to bring yourself to pleasure yourself to it.
Oh, I guarantee there are members of our audience last night who looked at that as an erotic experience. And you're probably one of them, aren't you?
I'm proud to say I am.
Okay, I knew it.
Hey, Mike.
I knew it. Some guy sitting naked in front of Schindler's List.
Any nudity anywhere.
Oh, yes.
That is.
Hey, Mike, you said something that wasn't quite politically correct.
What is that?
You referred to the guys who work for Don King as coloreds.
No, I said color commentator.
Oh, okay.
The color men.
Hmm. Okay.
Although he does have mainly coloreds working for him.
That's right.
Thank you.
But I said color men. Okay,
bye.
You sick bastard.
Hello. Not on my show. Besides the coloreds, that's my gag.
That's
hey,
right. All the colored guys.
Not about the Schindler's List. Was they sometimes will black out a woman's chest as she's lying on bed.
That's what I thought I saw late in the movie. I thought I saw.
I don't think they did in the scene where the Nazi's in bed and the girl's on top of him.
Towards the very end, I think it looked like it was shaded a little bit.
We'll see what the guy was talking about. Was she was laying in bed on her back? They would black it out, but then when she bent forward, you can see her breath.
We do have the beach towel brigade, don't we?
Man,
we
sure did, Mike.
Well, my wife is too close.
You know, you just have to lobby for boob town.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, buddies.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hi.
I'm calling to talk about how's Robbie's lip.
Hey, question.
Excellent question. Hold on, let me take...
Better.
It was better. Better, of course, being a relative term.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe you should put some lipstick on it, Robbie.
Really? God bless you, Sir Vernon.
He runs
Hello.
Away.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Rob Spiewak for Zomerax.
That's like a guy throwing eggs at your house, Robbie. That's a guy said something. That's like a guy that toilet papered your house and they ran away.
Hey, nice house.
I'm sorry, I watched The Untouchables over the weekend, too. That's all over cable. I can't help but watch that.
It's nice having a family, huh?
that guy
with the white suit on.
Oh, he is the slime ball of slime balls.
Nice to have a family.
Your little girl's having a birthday, huh? I kind of know that movie by heart. The Untouchables. Team. I don't get anywhere if the team doesn't do good.
Part of a team.
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 Team. But I get nowhere unless the team wins.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. Nothing works here. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. Nothing works here.
One, two,
three. Nothing works here.
Obviously, he doesn't like this place.
Mike Show. Good evening, gentle persons. Here's Don and Mike.
What is he doing,
Mr. Broyhill? Why are you staring at the map of the United States?
I was curious. I noticed that as soon as you came in. It's not what you normally do.
No, it's not. I was looking for a particular city in Texas.
Why?
I have some time coming up this next 2 weeks where I'm going to be off.
Are you going to Texas?
Yeah, I'm going to Texas.
No, you're not. Are you really?
No.
What's wrong with you?
Why were you just staring at the map?
Of Texas. You were looking at Texas.
Yes, I was. I got a list from the network of...
Ladies and gentlemen, before you continue, Charlie, let me just to warn everyone here, this may be a little difficult to follow. I just thought I'd give everybody a little preemptive strike there. Okay, go ahead.
I got a list from the network of some stations and cities.
Yeah.
I saw one I didn't recognize.
Thank you.
And I was looking for that city on the map.
Saturn Broyhill. Thank you, Saturn.
Righto.
Righto. See you later.
Thanks so much. And that was a wonderful explanation.
Thank you.
Thank you, tortoise boy.
Grown-up Cody Gifford.
There we go.
He's still staring at the map. Get out of here. Look at the map during the commercials, Charlie. Come on out. You distract me. Now, Rob, you stop looking at the map, too. Rob? Rob?
What's the city in Texas?
What is the city?
Yeah. Dallas.
No.
Dallas, shut up. All right. Liam Jean.
Yeah.
This is the guy that has been bugging us for 10 days to come on the show.
We're positive he's a big load. He's been on the Extreme Gong Show on the Game Show Network.
Very exciting.
And he's working on a comic monologue of songs that would annoy Bill Clinton.
Oh, boy. You know, for my money, you just can't beat the Clinton humor.
And cow's been milked, so
we'll give him a couple seconds to see what he's all about. The guy's been dying to get on the show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, you know we were calling. That's terrific.
How'd you know it was us?
Well, I have a call screener.
You have a call screener?
You mean caller ID?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Mm-hmm. It's Hello. Got your number out here. You guys are the only people that I know in Virginia.
Yes. Hello, Lean Jean. How do you pronounce your last name, sir?
Slonimsky.
Slonimsky.
Lean Jean Slonimsky. And tell us about your extensive resume on the Extreme Gong Show, please, sir.
I used to be homeless. And
really?
That's a shocker.
No, this was in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the 80s.
In the go-go 80s, you were without a domicile.
You might as well say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did what I did on the Mark and Brian show, part of.
What?
I did a brief monologue called The Lighter Side of Being Homeless.
Uh-huh.
Based on my own experiences.
See, we don't like it when someone comes on our show and mentions another radio show.
Yeah, that's a good way to tick us off right away. We've had kind of a rough day to start with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
But, you know.
I don't want to mess it up for you.
Okay, Lean Jean.
Well, go ahead.
But at any rate, I've also been on another time as a paid performer.
I bet you were a big hit on their show, weren't you?
Oh, they liked me.
Mm-hmm. Of course they did.
Yeah. Did they have you on more than once?
I'm probably going to go on in January.
Mm-hmm. No surprise.
That's good. Well, I hope you enjoy that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love the staff. They're really great people to work with.
So what are you working on now, Lean Jean?
And why did you call us?
Originally, I needed help with a monologue.
Is that all you needed help with?
I have a question. I have a question. You're not really... Lean Jean is a joke, right? You're probably really not lean. Right?
I'm a big guy, yeah.
All right, hold on. Let's play a game to get some weight.
I could be the answer to the Redskins' problems if I were a little younger.
That's right, and didn't have that terrible shaking problem.
All right, let's play a game to guess Lean Jean's weight. And please don't tell us that we all guess. I'm going to guess 400. Mike?
I'm going to say 350.
Robbie?
I'm going to say 320.
Buzz?
I'll say 300.
This is like the Price is Right.
Mm-hmm.
Lean right. Jean?
The actual person closest to his weight without going over.
Rob would be.
Yeah!
320.
320? What's your current weight, Lean Jean?
I believe it's 330.
330?
330. And how tall would you be, sir?
6'1".
6'1". So you're a big man all around.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So how did you get our number? How did you come across our show?
I called the guy who does radio for the Washington Post.
Yeah.
And told him I had a monologue, which I did last night.
Uh-huh.
A list of songs that President Clinton might find offensive.
Where did you do that monologue, in the tub?
No, I did this monologue at a place called the Sacred Grounds in San Pedro.
So who'd you call about us? Who is it that I can thank for giving you our number?
You can thank Frank Ahams, I believe.
That son of a bitch. You know, that guy never writes anything good about us in the Washington Post. Yet you call him, and we got to be the guys whose phone number he gives you, too.
Okay.
Oh, that guy's a son of a bitch. He really is.
And we've never met him.
Okay.
And that's the first that's ever written that we've never met that we've called a son of a bitch. That's good.
Well, he treats us just like all the other radio reporters for the Post do.
You know, even though there hasn't been anything really, you know, related to the show in there, you know, what you can tell already. When I realized just for a moment how paranoid I might be sounding, and I'm going to stop.
That's
now.
Okay. I'm right there with you. I'm your paranoid buddy.
Just, you know, the crap
Post
that
hates
I read
us. The Washington Post hates us.
It'll never change.
So you called the guy at the Post. The Post hates us. Why would they give us your number?
Well,
Why would they give you our number? In what context did you call this guy at the Post? What did you say to him? Who were you looking for?
Well, I told him I was looking for the local wise guys. I had on the radio. Every city has one.
Well, I think you've come to the right place.
The local wise guys.
Lean Gene, you've arrived.
Welcome.
Thank Welcome. You. We are here.
The local wise guys. So, let us hear your comedy monologue.
We've been dying to hear it.
That you were working on of Bill Clinton.
Okay, I'm going to do two of them. This is a list of songs that...
Well, why don't you do the first one, and then maybe we'll decide if you do two of them.
But do it just like you would if you were actually on stage in front of people.
Okay. This is Bill Clinton's apology, what he should have said. My fellow Americans, there are three things you should know. Fooling around is an American tradition. Just like baseball, hot dogs, and purse snatchings.
This guy blows, man.
Jesus.
Lying is an American tradition. And sometimes I get horny. I went to Mrs. Clinton.
No doubt this guy's been a big hit on the Mark and Brian show.
Favor.
Absolutely.
And she screamed, "You want me to do what?" So I went to Monica Lewinsky. And she said, "I am happy to do whatever it takes to help my country."
This may be the first guy the crickets actually eat.
All right, keep going. We're loving this, Lean Gene. Very
You're
nice.
You're darn right. I did it, and I'll do it again. And what that Newt Gingrich character said about Mrs. Clinton, his mother-in-law, it's true. She is a... Oh, can I say that on television? I guess not.
Now, all right, listen, I'm going to stop you right there. Is this some kind of a practical joke?
No.
Is this the Washington Post idea of a practical joke?
Is somebody over there, the Washington Post really gave you our number?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. They don't punish us enough by writing bad stuff about us.
Now, come on, this has got to be a joke, right?
No.
At this point, someone's going to come through the door now and say, "Donna, Mike, listen.
Here's our Christmas prank.
Happy holidays. Here's your bonus check. We got you."
What's your other monologue?
Okay, this is a list of songs that President Clinton might find offensive if played maliciously. Now, by maliciously, I mean like every half hour.
All right, go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, the comedy stylings of Lean Gene. He's been slaying us with this great material.
Go for it, Lean Gene. Some more great gags.
Great A funny man.
Okay, you can't always get what you want. What's love got to do with it? Liar.
Jesus.
Lion eyes. You sexy thing. Midnight confessions. Ugh. Call me.
Is that the end of the monologue?
That was the seven songs I thought up. There's probably more than I didn't think up. But...
All right, now, very nice. Who are you planning on telling these jokes to, Lean Gene?
Well, I tell them before a live audience.
Oh, my.
Really?
Oh, my God. Is that a good idea? No one's hurt you for that?
Nobody's hurt me.
Yeah, I mean, like, thrown something or anything like that?
Oh, no. No.
Really? What do you do, like, go to open mic nights or something like that?
From time to time, I also do book shows.
Book shows?
Book shows.
Or do people throw books at you?
No, they don't.
You don't have a book, do you?
No.
No. And do you have any other way of supporting yourself?
Yes, I do extra work.
You do extra work. There you go.
Oh, you mean out in California?
Yeah. Out in California.
Oh, okay. There. I think you got a long career as an extra.
All right, well, listen, I'll give you my expert opinion, because I've been in the radio business 25 years, and I consider myself to be a pretty funny guy. Let me think about the material you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
You blow. You blow big time. You blow dead bear.
Got to tweak it up a little bit, Gene.
You're the worst.
Tweak it up significantly.
You're the worst. Your material is no good. Your delivery is no good.
But I have optimism for him as an extra. I think you'll have many days sitting on, like, a studio lot reading a book.
You're awful.
Has anyone ever told you that?
No.
We're the first?
Oh, come on. The people have been lying to you, man. Tell me this. When you go out and tell these lame jokes, and when you go, like, on the other radio show that you mentioned, do they laugh? They're not patronizing...
They loved it.
They're not patronizing you. They really laugh.
Yes.
And the material you just gave us is similar to what you did on the other show?
The material, now the list of President Clinton songs, that's brand new, but the other monologue I did at the Laugh Factory.
Now,
oh my, the Laugh Factory.
The Laugh Factory.
Now, in front of a real audience.
Been recalled.
A real audience.
Now, when you go on this other show, be honest with me. Now, are they laughing at you or are they laughing with you?
They're laughing with me.
They're laughing with you and they're laughing at your material?
That's correct, sir.
Oh, my God!
All right. Well, you know, you can't explain certain things in this world.
Well, I stand by my first assessment. Always go with your gut instinct. You blow big time, you blow dead bear. As far as I'm concerned, your next gig should be at the Fart Factory.
But that's positive criticism because now there's nowhere to go but up.
Okay, thank you for your opinion.
And do us a favor. Call that guy at the Washington Post.
Yeah.
Call him every day like you've called us.
Do you have his home number?
No, I don't.
Could we secure that for this guy, perhaps?
Yes.
That's good.
Yes, we can get the home number. Perhaps you can call him over the holidays.
And, you know, because you've enjoyed a good chunk of time on our show. Is there anybody you'd like to say hello to while you have the opportunity?
Well, let me say hi to my cousin in Maryland.
Uh-huh.
They still speak to you?
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
All right, hold on a second. I got some feedback. I got a guy who heard you on that other show.
Oh.
Hold on a second. Hello, is this Stuart?
Hello.
All right, this guy calling us from California. Hey, Stuart.
Yep.
Hi.
I heard this loser on that other show he talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, they just pulled that other show from the market up here in Northern California.
Yeah, okay. Well, come on. Get to the point, though.
Well, they probably pulled it because they liked that. They liked it. They kept him on all the time.
All right, so Lean Jean's being square with us. He's telling us the truth.
He's been on their show.
I think that says something about Lean Jean and also says something about Mark and Brian.
Here, there.
Yes.
And I bet...
It takes all kinds, Don.
Tell me if I'm wrong. They were probably howling like hyenas at his material, right?
Constantly.
Sure.
Constantly.
There
you go. Because he's so goddamn funny.
That's great. Well, I hope they have him back. I really hope they have him back.
Yes. Yeah. Well, good luck, Lean Jean.
Lean Jean, it's been a little slice of heaven.
Thank you.
Really. Not to belabor the point. But one lesson. You're telling me we're the first people that's ever told you you suck? We're the first people that have ever told you that material's awful, your delivery is awful, you're pathetic, you suck, you stink, you're bad, you're not funny, your jokes are stale, your jokes are old, it's tired, it's a worn-out subject, your delivery is awful, you're pathetic, you don't enunciate the words correctly, you breathe too heavily, you're annoying. No one's ever told you these things?
No, sir.
Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard a first.
All right.
But remember, something to work on.
There you go.
And that's what you should do during the holidays.
Live your life to prove us wrong, Lean Jean.
And hey, Lean Jean, I've enjoyed the snappy comebacks during this, too. All right.
You've demonstrated your quick wit.
Jeez.
We'll catch your next appearance on the Mark and Brian Show. Be sure you tell their producer, Frank Murphy, that we said good booking. he's the chap who's booked you, isn't he?
Yes, he did.
Right, yeah. Well, he's an astute judge of talent.
He certainly is, and our best to Frank over at the Washington Post, too. The two Franks.
Both of them out to F us.
And we've been enjoying this opportunity to be frank with you.
All right, now, goodbye. Goodbye, Gene.
Bye, Gene.
Adios.
Adios.
Christ.
Jeez.
Is that guy the worst ever?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, he's awful, man.
I thought he'd defend himself a little bit, but he's sitting there silent.
I thought it would be one of those campy, so bad it's good things. No!
No,
it's just bad.
No!
I'm trying not to feel sorry for the guy.
Oh, no, don't feel sorry for him.
Just sitting there, you know, you're telling him that, and it's the truth, and all I hear on the other, I'm waiting for, well, wait a minute, and all I hear on the other side is,
I don't doubt he kills on Mark and Brian. He's been rebooked on that show. I don't doubt that.
Well, I just want my season pass to the Laugh Factory.
Hello?
Yeah, Mark and Brian suck.
All right, well, thanks. We knew that already. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, how are you guys doing today?
Hi there.
Hey, have you guys heard that Larry Flint bought the rights to the pictures to the Laura Schlesinger and is going to publish them in Hustler?
Oh, good for him.
He's always thinking that, Larry Flint. He really is. He's always trying. People are dying to be entertained.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, I got an idea. Of course, I'm not an idea man. Put out a double album of this guy and Dennis Murphy. You might sell a lot more stuff.
So now I want to tell you something.
Sir.
Compared to that guy?
Timing-wise?
Dennis Murphy is Jerry Seinfeld compared to that guy.
He's amazing.
I mean, I swear to God. I swear to God, Dennis Murphy is like the funniest. Dennis Murphy is Chris Rock compared to Lean Jean, okay?
Yeah.
That is an embarrassment to Dennis Murphy to put him in that category.
Pretty astounding. And, you know, even with that voice, you would think that would have carried him over. You know,
no.
You would have saw that, let me tell you the way. And I'm sitting there thinking, I chuckled at the voice, but then
right.
The material weighted it down.
Colby, I can't get no satisfaction.
Best comedian in town.
All right, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello,
word.
Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
I got, you know, talking about bad comedians, you know, did you log much time with Drew Carey Show on What's My Line, or on that thing that was on last night?
Whose line is it anyway?
And I'll tell you why I don't watch that show, because that's false advertising, because they make it out like the comedians on there are very spontaneous, and they come up with these wacky bits in 23 right. minutes, and you think, God damn, those are funny comedians. Do you know that for each episode, they tape 3 hours worth of material,
mm-hmm.
and they take the best of 3 hours and pack it into 23 minutes? So what you're seeing is not actually as spontaneous as it appears to be.
And I don't think the show works with Drew Carey. I like that British guy better. I like the guy. The way they did it in Britain was just a lot better. It was a lot better.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's funny because he sits there and laughs just like the audience, but Mike Cox, I sit there and look at the last bit, and I dread it because he has to participate, and that fat ass doesn't even know how to do anything comedic, you know?
Well, no, I would disagree. It's comedic. And I think Drew Carey is very funny on his show.
I just don't like him in that role.
The Drew Carey Show is an excellent show, but, you know, I always watch that kind of cynically because I know that what I'm seeing is not, you know, the great thing about being spontaneous and doing a show that supposedly is live where you just have comedians coming out and doing it off the top of their heads, it's just that.
Yeah, absolutely, and it works. It really does, and it's fun to watch. And if you know it's live and you know it's all happening, that's the excitement factor.
Yeah,
sure.
But, you know, it kind of takes something away when you know that they've done stuff for 3 hours and they got 2.5 hours that suck, and what they've really got is 23 minutes that are funny.
And they've got time to edit it down and, you know, get the reaction shots, which they seem to sweeten it a little bit. Oh, God.
Sweeten the laughter.
But, anyway.
But I think you should look forward to seeing Lean Jean on that show real soon.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I just want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Was it just me, or did that guy sound like Groupie the dog?
Oh, you mean the guy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, right, a little bit.
You
sounded like Pussy Man.
Pussy Man. Hey, Pussy Man. Hello, I've got a list of songs that the president won't like. I hope he won't get mad at me.
That's the worst.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Rob, this is Lincoln Jean. Would you and your two buddies from the Crybaby Hall of Fame please destroy my phone number? I'm kind of serious about this, you know? I can take it, but I can also dish it out. Like, if I hear from you guys again, I'm liable to go to the president of WJFK and file a complaint against you. You don't want that for a Christmas present, right? Have a nice day, turkey.
The Don and Mike Show.
That gravy dog, the Don and Mike Show.
You ever find that tape, Rob? You got it?
Venus rhymes with it. Woman.
Nope. This is the guy from the commercial.
What you see is what you get.
Females
behind.
Trying to find her in a commercial set when we had the guy from the Motel 6 commercial say...
Tom Baudet.
When we had him say, what you see is what you get.
With females for hire, I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you.
There was a time a while ago that we were really hooked on these cheesy commercials for these bad 70s porno movies.
Yeah. That guy, we actually hunted him down at his old age home and had him did an interview, and he was horrible.
It
wasn't
was a
he?
Huge waste of time.
What did you always say?
I saw a long time ago that I did the females for hire.
What you see is what you get.
With females for hire.
The naughty cheerleaders.
The naughty cheerleader. It's all here, all of it. With everything left in and nothing left out.
At every high school, there's one girl every boy notices, every male teacher looks at, and every man wants. She's the naughty cheerleader. Why don't you let her turn you on, too? The naughty cheerleader. The girl of every man's wildest dreams. Don't miss The Naughty Cheerleader, in color, rated R. No one under 17 admitted without parent, from Independent International.
If you want to know how old it is, in color.
30
years ago, at least.
We
have a film
film that's in color that naughty every man looks at.
All right, we're going to get to the nude wedding.
Yes.
I think the couple, the guy that called us earlier, looks like that's going to pan out. We will be interviewing him.
Good.
And also interviewing his bride-to-be.
That should be exciting.
But you know what? We're coming up on our interview with Rebecca De Mornay. What are we going to say to Rebecca De Mornay, besides the fact...
How about this? I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Yeah, besides the fact that she's just gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. We'll ask her if she's ever been in any production from Independent International.
All right, very close. Hand That Rocks the Cradle. There was a lot of topless Rebecca De Mornay in that movie.
Where she was the nutty babysitter?
Yeah.
What is she selling? Someone is usually selling something.
Oh, she's like in some Hallmark Hall of Fame show or something like that.
Yeah, that's fine. As long as they live every... You know, Hallmark Hall of Fame normally doesn't leave everything in with nothing left out.
Right. You know what I can ask her about? I'm going to write this one down.
Well, Risky Business, of course.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask her if she thinks Tom Cruise is a homo.
That's interesting. That should be an interesting question. She's worked with
him. Tom Cruise, homo.
Hand That Rocks the Cradle. She played a psycho in that,
right.
Saw a lot of her there. Very attractive.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. That interview is taken care of. Now, I'll just ask her about
filmography.
About Tom Cruise being a homo.
If we, during one of the breaks, because I'd like to, because I know a lot of movies she's done. I just don't know them by title. That's I don't know them. I know The Naughty Cheerleader.
Hold on, we finally found our tape with the guy from Motel 6.
Oh, good.
This is Tom Baudet. What you see is what you get with females for hire.
Imagine if they'd used him. They wouldn't have made a dime.
No.
Not a dime. Not all of them.
Listen, let's do a cash call right now.
All right.
While we're waiting for Rebecca De Mornay, this would be a very brief interview. Frankly, I can't imagine this interview with Rebecca De Mornay going more than 90 seconds, but we'll see what happens.
You never know. You know what makes those interviews last?
What?
Attitude.
That's true.
Okay, cash call time right now. I don't even think we've given out the current cash toll call total on today's show, so this will be a real testament to your listenership.
Yes, be a testament to my listenership, too.
This entry, not computer-generated.
Not at all.
As you can see, it's one of the postcards that was sent to us, snail mail.
If you know the total in our cash call jackpot, that money is quite simply yours. Mike, all of it.
Let's try to guess it on a piece of paper here.
All right.
All right, Mike and Buzz have a side bet going now about the cash call jackpot. Buzz, what do you think it is?
This is what I think I remember.
Okay. I'm not looking at Buzz.
Okay.
Buzz is right. Mike is wrong.
What was yours?
That is the current amount. Don't get mad at him.
I'm sorry.
Don't throw, Mike.
I'm sorry. I throw. When I'm angry, I throw.
All right. Hello?
No one's home. I'm sorry, I got it in the break. You know, you play it more than twice, and that's it. It's all.
The naughty cheerleaders.
Yes, the naughty winner. She's the gal that enters all the contests. She's playing with fire. The contestants for hire.
It says nothing on here about the time that this person listens to the show.
Mm. She'll be waiting for
Hello?
You.
Hello?
Oh, there you go. Oh, now I hear somebody. Is this Janet Fitzpatrick?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that like some old...
Yeah, Janet Fitzpatrick and Patrick Fitzjanet.
Right. Janet, hello. This is the Don and Mike radio show.
Get out of here!
Get out. Oh. Get out of town. We're calling to ask, of course, if you know how much is in our cotton picking crazy cash call jackpot.
Yeah, I do.
How much?
$164
is correct.
Yay!
All right.
Congratulations.
Yay!
You have just picked up $164. This is... Janet Fitzpatrick from Essex Junction, Vermont.
Yeah.
And what station do you listen to our show on?
WEAV.
Beautiful.
Weave.
Well, you have just won $164 in cash.
Cool.
And thank you for listening. Now, here's Jeremy Coleman to tell you where the money's coming from.
Money for Don and Mike's cash call, courtesy of Advantage Title, 703-352-2840. Come for the service, stay for the sushi. This is Jeremy Coleman speaking.
Oh, wow. Hey, somebody forgot to remind him he has to still maintain high energy during the new year. Is that an old one?
No, that's a new one. That's a new cut. He just did that one today for us.
Yeah, you got to get his mind right, Rob.
Well, listen, Janet, congratulations. Enjoy your money, and thank you for listening to the show.
Thanks a lot.
Beauty.
All right, all the way up in Vermont.
Hold on a second. Well, that means we got a brand new cash call amount.
Good. I'm going to write this one down, and I'm going to memorize it.
Our next cash call is going to be worth $147.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
All right.
$147. The next time we make a cash call.
It's very clear. We're stuffing cash in your pockets everywhere. All over the Don and Mike listening area. There's more fun and more thrills.
I love that guy.
What you see is what you get. The naughty contestant.
With females for hire.
And come She's on. Waiting for Dynamite to call. She's standing by her refrigerator with ice cubes.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Well, hello, Don.
Yes, I am. Hello there.
Hey, look, I just wanted to first say I caught you all down at the Bayou before the last show, on the last show there. Excellent show for the Las Vegas night. I was going to mention another movie with Rebecca De Mornay that you may not know about. It's called In God Made Woman. She plays the woman prisoner. Woman prisoner. And there was she was ended up getting it on with a prison guard and a bunch of other things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Fantastic.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I was calling about the Rebecca De Mornay interview.
Yes.
When they were making Risky Business, she got hooked up with Tom Cruise. They went together for a while, and then he dumped her. She's going to say he's gay, whether he is or isn't.
How do you know that, though? She may not say he's gay.
Well, I understand this guy's saying because woman scorned.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, what she's saying is if Tom Cruise dumped her, well, of course, he must be a homo.
Oh, yeah. Dump Rebecca De Mornay, you'd have to be a homo.
Have we rated her yet? On our scale?
No, I don't think she's on the list.
Let's rate her.
I don't think she's ever been popular enough. I mean, in mainstream for us to rate. Right. We'll rate her right now.
Let's do it.
I will give Rebecca De Mornay 6. No, strike that. She doesn't do a lot for me. I'll give her a 5.9. 5.9.
I'm going to give her a 7.1.
Good.
I've always considered her one of the hottest women in Hollywood. Mm-hmm.
I would do Anne Heche before I would do her. I really would.
Maybe. I would do Rebecca De Mornay in a heartbeat.
Baby.
Oh, there's just something about her. I mean, there really is. Mm-hmm. She's got that certain something that really turns me on and makes me want to come back for more fun and more thrills.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, best Rebecca De Mornay movie ever. I think Michael O'Keefe in The Slugger's Wife. She does a scene with him.
That's right, The Slugger's Wife.
That movie sucks so bad. That's where she's married to the guy that plays for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah,
that's
right, but
Michael
she's
O'Keefe.
So hot.
Yeah, she is super hot. Uh-huh.
She makes just about anything almost appealing enough
she
to
is,
watch for the entire time.
I agree with this caller that I've always thought that Rebecca De Mornay can be in a bad movie and make it palatable just to look at her.
Hey, did you ever see Feds?
Feds. Yeah, I saw Feds.
With the dyke from
really
Saturday
gross.
Night Live, right? What's that? The dykey woman from Saturday Night. Mary Gross. Mary Gross, do you remember her?
I can't really forget it. It's kind of intertwined with the Rebecca De Mornay fantasy. But
Charlie?
Good storyline, too, Feds. I like the story.
Thanks to our audience, I'm now able to work it up for this interview.
Mm-hmm.
Get her on the line, please.
Beautiful. Let's go Joy. For
get her on the line right now.
And I will try. I will really try desperately not to use the females for hire voice during this interview.
As a matter of fact, I think to spice the interview up, mm-hmm. we should use that voice.
Oh, we're curious.
Hello, Rebecca.
It's good to have you on the show.
With females for hire.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you're familiar with the body of work from Independent International. Females for hire, naughty stewardesses.
Bedroom. Hold on. Where was that with the title?
Was it bedroom stewardesses?
Bedroom stewardesses.
The naughty cheerleader.
Naughty cheerleader.
In color, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parents.
From Independent International.
It's the Big Triple Stewardess Show. Bedroom stewardesses plus blazing stewardesses and naughty stewardesses. All three together for the first time in one super show. They're flying high from one city to another and one man to another. They're the girls who've got the class and that sexy wink in their eyes that says hello in a special way.
The girls
who invite you out for a drink, and they've got a wilder imagination than you do.
Such a bad read.
And let these girls make all the plans.
All the plans.
You'll just love it. You've never seen so many pretty girls all at one time before. And each one is...
Pretty girls.
Pretty girls
you.
At one time.
Don't miss Bedroom Stewardesses plus Blazing Stewardesses and Naughty Stewardesses. Three together for the first time. In color, rated R for adults. No one under 17 admitted without parent. From Independent International.
All right, so we'll do the interview on those voices.
Very nice.
Rebecca, what you see is what you get.
With females for hire.
Tell me something. Tom Cruise, does he like the baloney pony? All right, here she is now.
All right.
Joining us via satellite.
Rebecca De Mornay.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, we're fine. I'm Don.
And I'm Mike. How are you today?
Hi, very good.
What you see is what you get with Rebecca De Mornay.
We are very excited to have her on the show, and we're talking in these wonderful voices to do this interview. What is the project that you're going to be hyping for us today, Rebecca?
Is this how you really talk?
No, certainly not.
No, but we were playing a tape of a guy that did these commercials, and we thought he sounded sexy.
All right, listen, we'll talk in our real voices for you.
All right, we won't. Right.
That was kind of like from the old movies, right?
Yeah.
From an old porno movies.
Old porno movies, that's what you were watching?
What you see is what you get.
Well, they really weren't porno movies. They were like in the 1960s or even the early
60s. I guess Washington, D.C., I guess you got to sort of be expecting that.
Honey, somebody has to. Would somebody please tell one time when we book a guest that we're on in more cities than just Washington, D.C.?
We get big celebrities on our show, and they don't know that we're on 62 cities across the country.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
What other cities, for example?
Okay, Denver, Tampa Bay, Baltimore. Vegas, Albuquerque, Reno.
Okay, that's enough. Great.
Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right,
see, we're major stars, Rebecca.
Major effing stars. Here is the guy that we were imitating here from the ads from the porno movies.
What you see is what you get with Females for Hire.
See, we were just wasting time waiting for you to get ready to do the interview, listening to those tapes. So let me ask you a question right now, Rebecca De Mornay.
Let me ask you something. Are we on the air or not?
Yes, of course.
Yes. Oh, we are. Okay.
We create
just
such a
so
natural... We're so loose.
No, if we were just backstage or something.
We're so natural that we create the illusion that we're just having a casual, conversation.
Okay, let me ask... Well, anything I say can and will be held against me.
Yes, of course.
Let me ask you right now, Tom Cruise, is he a homo? That is the opening question for Rebecca De Mornay.
I will tell you, in my experience, no, he is not. No, I did a movie with him 16 years ago called Risky Business.
Yes.
Oh,
we were
that's the one where can we give you
together
we're
for
gonna applaud that.
Years.
That did you have juicy relations with him?
What?
Did you have juicy relations with him?
Juicy? I don't know. I don't know what you would qualify as juicy, but we lived together for 2.5 years.
Oh, so they did have juicy relations.
Ah, wonderful. And in your experiences with Mr. Cruise, positive, negative?
Absolutely
hot,
positive.
Positive, all right.
Scientology, tell me, is it a form of mind control?
You know what? I don't have anything to do with Scientology.
But he does now, right?
Yes, he does. But are we talking about him, or are we talking about Knight Ride Home?
Knight Ride Home.
Knight Ride Home. Here we go.
That sounds like a horror movie.
No, Mike, it's a Hallmark Holifier.
Oh, okay. Knight Ride Home. I think they've misnamed it, though. It should be a horror movie with that. Knight Ride Home.
It's not a horror movie. It's a very moving, extremely emotional piece that is going to be on CBS.
Yeah.
The Hallmark Hall of Fame movie about a family that is unraveling in shock and grief over the death of one of their children.
Do you wear any hot outfits in this movie?
No, I do not.
Oh. So this would be
mother of two teenage kids, and I am anything but hot in this movie.
Oh no! Now listen, I am going to slip out of our voices for a second, but then get right back into it by saying I don't think you could do any film without being hot. You just can't help that because I think really, and I mean this from my ticker, you are one of the few truly naturally beautiful women in Hollywood.
Watch this movie and still see if you still think so. I look really overwrought.
But do you try to look bad? I mean, do you have to get up in the morning and try to look as bad as you can to do this role?
I had prosthetics to look bad in this movie. I look horrendous.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. It's not a glamorous role, let me put it this way.
I bet you look good even when you look bad.
Oh, well.
What you see is what you get with Rebecca De Mornay.
Oh, absolutely.
In the Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation with Keith Carradine. Is that the Kung Fu Man?
No, that would be David Carradine.
David Carradine.
Keith Carradine. Isn't he married to somebody famous?
And Ellen...
He's in love with a woman, and,
And Ellen Burstyn. Wasn't she in the Jack Nicholson movie where he was crazy?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Wasn't she Nurse Ratched?
Was that Ellen Burstyn?
No, it was Louise Fletcher.
Oh, Louise Fletcher, you're right.
Damn, you're right.
So wrong. You just got to, how do you even get up out of bed in the morning?
I don't know.
We prepare for our interviews.
Well, I'll tell you this. You've got a good time slot.
Okay.
On Sunday nights at 9 o'clock on the CBS on the Tiffany Network.
Yeah?
Yeah, and we're CBS guys, too, We respect
you know about
CBS.
These
of course we do.
Okay, good.
Can I ask... Where are you right now? What city are you in?
Well, I'm actually at home in my office in Los Angeles.
Oh, did we use caller ID so we could have her number?
Through the New York office of CBS. So you'd be kind of hard put to get my number.
Could I be so bold as to ask what you were wearing right now?
I am wearing black pants, black boots, a black turtleneck sweater.
Yes.
That's what I usually wear.
Do you find yourself wearing black most of the day?
Yeah, I'm in mourning for my life.
Mourning for your life. You're in mourning doing this interview right now, I'm sure.
And that's actually, I think that was a line of a Chekhov play. I swear to God, I think it's the first line of The Seagull or something.
No, see,
you
we
guys wouldn't know about that.
No, we're not educated men. We're morons. We're umdums. you know, this would be the first interview that you've done with a couple of umdums. Are you familiar with the term umdum?
That is a term that my father coined for my brother and myself when we were growing up. He would call us umdums.
Umdums or damn dummies.
Because my parents were very verbally abusive to me.
Oh, dear.
When I was growing up.
So we have found that we enjoy calling some of our listeners umdums, and of course we refer to each other as umdums also.
I think that's funny.
Thank you.
Very funny.
And you are in Knight Ryan Home.
Knight Ryan Home.
Hall of Fame presentation.
On CBS, and we have slipped again into this terrible accent, which we cannot control.
What is that accident?
I don't know. It's not accent, it's accent.
Oh, accent.
Yes.
Let me ask you, we were talking about Anne Heche earlier.
Yeah. Okay.
In the relationship with Ellen and Anne, who's the husband and who's the wife, do you think? I mean that seriously.
I have no idea. Do you think they even think of themselves that way?
I think that Ellen is the husband and Anne is the wife. I'll be honest with you.
Why? Because Ellen wears more pants? What do you think?
You have crystallized it, yes, because
I just don't know. That might just be a cliche. I don't know them personally, but so that might be a cliche.
Do you think that because she's wearing pants that she's trying to hide the fact that she is indeed the wife in that relationship?
That's very possible.
How many other leading men have you had affairs with who you've worked with?
You know what? He's the only one. He's the first and the last. Yeah.
Who are you? Are you currently married?
I'm currently very much in love and living with someone who is the father of my 14-month-old daughter.
Is he in the industry?
He's an actor, yes.
And how long has that relationship been going on?
You know, almost 4 years.
Four years. Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for Rebecca De Mornay's relationship.
Hanging in there for 4 years.
We love those 4-year relationships. We truly do. And you're being very tolerant and patient with these voices that we're using during this interview.
You know, I'm really just like, you know, dumbfounded. I had no idea.
I see it as a sign of your desperation to publicize your upcoming Hallmark Hall of Fame.
I had no idea. I'm trying to be as polite and funny as I possibly can.
And you are. You're
very nice. You're wonderful.
You're marvelous.
After this. You're wonderful.
Get me together with these umdums.
Yeah,
you see, got there. Now you're okay, Rebecca De Mornay.
Could you do me one favor before?
Yeah.
Because our time, of course, is like everything that's good, fleeting. I would like to tell you, could you just say, this is Rebecca De Mornay, and Don and Mike are umdums.
Absolutely. With great pleasure.
Thank
you. Say that now, darling.
This is Rebecca De Mornay, and I would just like to say that Don and Mike are umdums.
That was beautiful.
Bravo.
We will continue to plug a Hallmark Hall of Fame Night Ride Home at Sunday, CBS, 9 p.m.
You are very lovely, very wonderful, and I am a very big fan, Rebecca De Mornay.
I appreciate that. Take care, you guys.
Thank you. Goodbye, Rebecca De Mornay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Wonderful energy. And that exhale would tell you that she did believe she was speaking to umdums.
I think he was frightened.
Yes, he was. But I like the trend now of all celebrities to call us umdums.
Instead of saying they don't listen to the show.
It's a new frontier.
That was good. That made an awkward interview fly by.
Absolutely, because you know when we start talking like this.
We can't stop.
It's a disease.
What you see is what you get with Females for Hire.
Rebecca De Mornay.
A lovely lady, a talented actress, and very forthright about her relationship with Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Another star.
Okay. Is she still there? Hello?
Hello.
She's long gone.
She's taken her black pants and her black turtleneck, and she's gone away with her lover of 4 years.
All right. That was our fantastic interview. Log that for best of with Rebecca De Mornay. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome to the latest weather forecast brought to you by Verizon.
The current temperature is 32 degrees.
The winds are out of the west at 5 miles per hour. Here's your current forecast from the National Weather Service.
It's going to be really snowy. A good chance to stay inside and have hot chocolate. And if you put a fire on, you can toast marshmallows. Because the snow will be coming down just like Christmas. And then once it falls, you can go out and go sledding. Because we're supposed to get some snow.
Thank you for listening to the forecast.
Bye.
The Don and Mike Show.
I think it's this way, Charlie.
No, this way, Joe.
No, this way, Charlie.
No, this way, Joe.
No, this way.
No. Wow.
They have the best radio show on the radio. Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Don. How you going?
Hello, Dan. All right. I'm ready for my good news.
Hold on. Let me give you a timpani.
I am ready for my good news for my personal friend.
Let's hear. Maybe you got some FU money now.
Okay, here we go.
Let's hear. Dennis?
Yes?
Did Mike win the Virginia lottery?
No, no, it wasn't Virginia. It's the Maryland lottery.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready. Am I going to spend the rest of my days on the golf course?
Then I take it back. Did Mike win the Maryland lottery?
Mike, guess what?
What's that, Dennis?
No.
Oh.
The only guy who won was in Massachusetts.
Boston. Bought it near Fenway Park.
Yeah, so unfortunately, Mike, you and I have to work another day.
Well, Dennis, I know that you were totally trustworthy, and if you'd had the winning ticket for me, you would have given me all the money. And I would have, you know what? I was planning to give you... I was going to give you $1,000.
You what? Yep.
$1,000 out of $140 million.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
That's the kind of guy I am.
Generosity, thy name is Mike O'Mara.
John, I'd give you $1,000, too.
Oh.
Really?
Uh-huh. You're very generous, Mike.
Yeah, I would. I would have given everybody, Dennis and Don $1,000, and then in increments of maybe $100 for all the people that work with me.
Hey, can I, I'm up here in Hagerstown.
Yes.
I did the news for Hagerstown at the top of the hour.
Oh, my God.
You know, this worries me that we're going to start losing affiliates, that you're, like, going willy-nilly to all of our affiliates, just making yourself accessible to them.
I'm sorry.
What did you do? How did this come about? I hate to ask.
Oh, no. Actually, I called Mike, the TV icon guy.
After he was on the show yesterday, yes.
Yeah, and I wish him congratulations.
No, you're insanely jealous because he had an article written about him in the newspaper.
Oh, no, I wasn't jealous. Okay, Mike, great job.
Yeah, but the purpose of your call was certainly not just to congratulate him. The purpose of your call was something for you.
I was just going to say, hey, Mike, are you doing anything tomorrow?
You know, Dennis is a constant battle for one-upmanship with anybody that even gets just a hint of notoriety on this show, isn't he?
Sure, and he wanted to latch onto Mike and take full advantage. And so you brought up the fact that you wanted to, go up there?
Yeah, go up to Hagerstown,
Sure. How long a drive was that from your house, Dennis?
Oh, no, it was only an hour and 15 minutes.
Mike, only an hour and 15.
Only an hour and 15.
Only an hour and 15.
Forgot he was driving like 95 miles an hour.
I was glad to 80.
Dennis, do you want to come down and be a judge for the ugly breast pageant?
If you want me to. Yes, please, Don. Please. Please, Don.
This is always the way with this. No, please, Dennis, let me beg you. Please, because the bid is just not complete without you. Dennis Murphy.
Oh, I would be really honored to help you all out in the judging.
Okay, beautiful. The Ugly Breast Contest is next Thursday, everybody, and all the paperwork is signed.
Cool.
It is a go with Dr. How you pronounce that name again, Robbie?
Junta.
Dr. Junta.
Oh, I won't be able to come next Thursday.
You won't be able to come next Thursday?
I'm in Florida.
All right, well, we'll have to cancel the contest.
No.
Nuts.
No, you are. I'm sorry.
Nuts. Rats.
I'm hitting my head. God damn.
Hey, Dennis, you really did the news in Hagerstown, huh?
Yeah, I did the news and I did the weather. You want to hear what I did?
Sure.
Okay. Hey, sunny and breezy today. Hi, 76. Clear tonight. Overnight, low 41. Mostly sunny. And one tomorrow, Thursday, high 80.
So you just showed up at our affiliate station, WARK, and how did it end up that you did the news and weather?
Well, Mike asked if I could do the weather for him, so I went ahead and I said yes.
Went ahead and said yes.
Very gregarious of you, Dennis. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Don, I'm calling.
I know you wanted to say okay, Mike, didn't you?
No, okay, Mike.
All right, goodbye, Dennis.
Okay, y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
And I'll see you later.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Well, even though Dennis will not be able to be a celebrity judge, we will still continue with the ugly breast contest next Thursday, the 15th, and the winner gets free breast augmentation.
That's a wonderful prize.
What?
I wish I could be there. I haven't saw a breast in 15 months.
Haven't seen a breast. Not haven't saw a breast.
I haven't seen a breast in 15 months.
And whose was that you saw?
Huh?
Whose was the last breast you saw? Is she related to you?
No, she's not related. I have a couple. I have a liaison.
A liaison? Is she a dangerous liaison?
No. She was a very nice lady.
You sure you didn't scrunch yours together to make them look like women's breasts?
Okay, Mike. That's what I
did. Okay, Mike. Dennis, who is this woman that showed you her breasts?
Oh, you know who she is.
Who?
That
blonde lady? The blonde lady from the beach?
No, it wasn't. Oh, you know what? Actually, no. It's only been 6 months because I saw Julie's breast.
Ah, Julie. Who's Julie?
The girl who exposed herself at the show. In Ocean City?
Oh, in Ocean City, yeah.
Oh, you're right. Counting that? You're counting that as seeing a breast when
a
girl gets up? When a girl gets up on stage during one of our shows and takes her top off? How about when there was just a one-on-one where the girl just took her top off just for you, not in a public venue?
It was right before I was going to see a minor league baseball game. She came over and said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "Okay. Would you like to have some relations?" I said, "Yeah."
I don't know. When was this that you were at a minor league baseball game when a girl asked you if you wanted to have any relations?
Before I went to a minor league baseball.
When? Give me a timeline on this, though, Dennis.
She came over now. Let me cook it. Something more.
No. What I mean is, what year was this?
Oh, 1998.
98.
Last year, so just last year, you got laid last year?
April of 98.
Before what minor league baseball game?
The Bowie Bay Sox.
The Bowie Bay Sox at that stadium?
Yeah.
You got laid and you didn't call us with that bulletin?
No, you knew about that. It's the lady who I paid.
Oh, the lady who you paid.
Yeah.
The lady who I paid. Now it makes sense.
You know, the
How much did you pay this lady to have sex with you?
$20.
$20.
$20.
No. Worth it. $20 at the old ball game.
I don't remember hearing the story that Dennis paid for a $20 lay at a baseball game.
You know, that lady, the color lady I had relations with.
The colored lady, yeah.
Colored lady. Dennis Murphy back in the early 1960s.
No, but you know the one.
No, Dennis, but I thought the colored lady you're speaking of.
But she moved out of town.
Yeah, I thought
she did move out of town.
I thought that was a lady at your office, and that was like 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago when it started, but she came a year afterwards, and then.
What, she came back?
She came back.
God, it's one of those days, Dennis. Dennis, it is one of those days where it is so hard to communicate with you.
Okay, no. The girl came back to my house a year later.
This is a woman that Dennis had paid for sex much earlier, like 2 years ago.
Right.
And wasn't there something where she ended up leaving the job or something because you had paid her for sex?
Oh, no. She left due to other reasons.
So she came back to visit?
Yeah, she came back to visit me at the house.
Was she a little short of cash?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. So she visited you at the house then?
Yeah.
So that's you never told us that.
No, you never told us. I didn't reveal that.
Right.
And you never told us you paid $20 either. Not only did you not tell us that she came back, you didn't tell us that you paid $20.
No.
And now it's all becoming very clear to me why Dennis was having difficulty explaining, because Dennis never said a word about this because he was so hesitant to tell us what was going on originally that of course he wouldn't tell us that he revisited this situation. This was this big taboo sexual thing with
$20.
Yeah.
Now, did you talk her down?
No, that's
what she asked for.
Was that the standard rate? Was that the standard rate you used to pay when she worked with you?
Basically, yes.
Okay, $20.
Yeah. And how many times did you pay her to have sex when she worked with you?
Around four times.
Four times. You did about, what, an $80?
Well, the first time I was so enamored, I paid her $100.
Oh, wow.
And then afterwards, she, you know, I just, how about 20? And she said, sure. So,
now, is this full sex? I mean, you know, man on woman sex?
Yeah, you know, the old-fashioned style.
Old-fashioned style.
Have you ever traveled to her location where she lives now?
I have no clue where she lives.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to know where she lives.
You don't want to know, but she knows where you live, and she comes back. Does she call you before she's coming back into town?
Actually, she didn't.
Oh, really?
No.
Where did you just run into her at the baseball game? Or?
No. She just suddenly showed up at my front doorstep.
And you took her to the baseball game?
No. I just took her downstairs.
Well, what is this about relations with a woman at a baseball game?
No, I'm just telling you.
And don't, Dennis,
okay.
Dennis, don't start answering every question by saying no.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. What happened was, I was on my way to a Blue Ridge Bayhawks game.
Right. They're a minor league baseball.
So you were walking out of your front door?
I was walking out of my front door, and this lady showed up and said, hi. And I said, hi. And, you know, I said, how you doing?
She must be pretty desperate for a 20 spot, man.
Yeah.
That girl really had to work for that 20 bucks,
yeah,
man.
There is.
Jesus Christ.
That's a painful ATM right there.
Well, actually, I had it on me, so I didn't have to go travel for the coin.
You're always carrying lots of cash, Dennis.
Oh, a couple of dollars.
Did she do anything else to you, or just straight sex?
The old-fashioned way.
Just straight sex. Did you use protection?
As always, yes.
As always,
yes. Right.
No Monicas?
Well, not this time.
But before, previously, when she worked with
you? She did it once.
How much did she charge you extra for a Monica?
It's still $20.
Still $20.
So you never made... No, knowing you, did you make it to the game after all?
Oh, yeah, I made it to the game.
Of course you did, sure. You big sports guy.
Of course you did.
I made it to the game. Unfortunately, it went, but I made it.
So you mean you're just getting ready to go to a ball game,
yeah.
And all of a sudden this girl who you've had sex with and paid her money before, she just shows up on your door. Walk me through the conversation of how it comes up that you're going to have sex with her and pay her
$20. Well, the thing is, she just knocked at my front door, and I opened the door, and I was going out, we were talking, said, hi, how you doing, long time no see, and then she said, are you in the mood, and I said, I was going to a baseball game, but sure, why not, so we went in the house and went downstairs, and...
No, I agree, Rob. No, there's something missing here. This can't be right. So she just said, are you in the mood? Walked up, knocked on your door, and said, are you in the mood?
Out of the blue, she didn't even live in the area anymore, you say?
As far as I know, she couldn't.
Do you think it was... did she give you the indication that perhaps she was very in need of money?
I think she was, because she would not have shown up unless she was in need of some cash.
All right, then how does the $20 figure come up again?
I said, how much you want? And she said $20. I said, okay.
All right, Dennis. Well, it's always fascinating talking to you.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Always nice.
I tell you, this started out, we had no idea what was going on until we drew him out a little bit.
All right, well, thank you, Dan.
Anything else you want to know?
No, I think we heard enough today.
That's right, Dennis.
Okay.
Funny of you. Your favorite, Dennis. A big segment devoted to you.
No, I'm not that big. You are big. I'm just a small guy.
No, we're not so big that we've ever paid $20 to have sex.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
With the woman we work with.
I'm sorry.
Play ball.
All right, goodbye, Dennis.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
He's a happy man today. Got his newscast on the Hagerstown station. Got 15 minutes talking to us about sex.
Hey, $20.
He didn't want to tell us originally. That's why that story. Oh, you remember that time at the baseball game? No.
No, we don't, Dennis. Hello, Don and Mike. She's got no qualms about paying for it, does he? No qualms at all. Hello.
That lady with Dennis Murphy is probably a crackhead. She probably just needed her $20 for her fix, you know?
I don't doubt it.
coming around, I guess.
I'd like to interview that lady, because Dennis had alluded to the fact before that he had paid her for sex when he worked in the same office as she did.
He's hiding her. He'll never let us know who she is.
He'll bring her with him when he comes to spend the night at one of our houses in front of the baseball scene.
But you know something, Buzz?
What?
That just added a little bit more to that bet, didn't it? Just picturing Dennis with
sure
a...
Sure did. It means you got to burn the sheets. I mean, not that you weren't going to burn the sheets originally.
Yeah. You're assuming there'll be sheets on the bed.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, rubber sheets.
Hey, you know what?
What?
I don't appreciate you talking down Drew Barrymore.
Oh, please. Drew Barrymore is a skank of the highest regard.
Now, what are you smoking, man?
Nah, she's ugly.
She's dirty looking, man.
Dude, you need your eyes examined.
Give us another example of a woman you think is hot.
Kate Winslet.
Mm. Okay, case closed, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. You're just into pigs, man.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you're into pigs.
Yeah, why don't you get on that Linda Tripp website?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Drew Barrymore is gross.
She is. There's something about her that just doesn't do it.
I would do her before Kate Winslet, though.
No, I would do Kate Winslet before. I'd like to see pictures, though. I'd like to see pictures before. I'd like to see the state of Kate Winslet, who varies greatly in her appearance.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Pole smokers.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So pole smokers and the love fest continues.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, that guy was right, Don. Are you a fag or something? You don't like Drew Barrymore?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm a total fag. Yeah, I'm coming out today on the show. I'm a big fag.
How can you say she's not pretty? She's beautiful.
Oh, Drew Barrymore is not only she got the moon pie face...
She's got the, like, puffy face. She's got the, like, overinflated piggy face.
And you know she has dirt under her fingernails and dirt under her toenails. And
she's
all
pasty.
I don't even want to talk about what she might smell like.
Have you ever seen her in Poison Ivy?
Down there. In the movie Poison Ivy? No. No.
If you rent that, you'll get a whole different...
Now, once again, I must ask you, give us another woman who you think is hot.
Another woman I think is hot?
Yeah.
Helen Hunt.
All right, well, no disagreement there. I mean, Helen Hunt is hot, but Drew Barrymore is a pig, man.
What is it about Drew Barrymore? I think these are two isolated circumstances.
Guys like whores.
Naughty girl. Dirty girl.
Right.
She could be a little whore, that's true, but she's still hot.
Oh, she's not hot at all, man.
Sounds like a parrot.
Dirty girl. I saw Drew Barrymore on the Rosie O'Donnell show, and she's just filthy looking. Just.
Have you ever seen the pictures of her nude on the net?
She's got nice boobs. I mean, when she was on the Rosie O'Donnell show today, she was bouncing, you know, her big gelatinous breasts around.
Yeah, they're always unconfined. Always in some, like, unwashed T-shirt.
She's gross, and she had her hair like Pocahontas style, where she had a ponytail on the back, and she had just the one braid, like a shoelace she tied around her forehead. And she had
just like an ugly little kid, you know, that you're trying to dress up and make her look good, and it misses.
She had all these dangly bracelets and stuff around her arms, and she kept moving her arms, and it was so annoying that they kept jingling and jangling.
Remember when she had that Cupid doll look?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Cupid doll where she was just, ew. She doesn't clean up good, as they say.
Right. She's dirty, man. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, now.
Hey. All right.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, you know, we all pay for it indirectly. At least Dennis is getting out the cheap way.
I suppose in a roundabout way, you're right. One way or another, we all end up paying for it.
Yep.
Yeah, but for $20, I think you get what you pay for, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
He gave her $100 initially. That's what started the relationship.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That's gratitude. Here's $100.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, guys. You guys were talking about Drew Barrymore, when she looked the best. She actually looked the best in E.T.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Charlie Broyhill.
Oh,
thank
my you. God. All right. It's Paulie Pedophile
thank
here.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, this is LaTanya's $20 mobile outcall service.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Dennis Pater and
what's
Penny.
What's happening?
Hey, buddy.
What's going on?
Hi, last call here because we got to clear these lines out.
You guys doing okay today?
Yeah.
Just calling to say you're doing a great job.
Al, thank you. Thank you for
God
the opportunity.
God bless you guys.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Needed that.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Incredible!
WNAM Hall and Oaks in Sarah, Miami, where I will kick your dinky little face in.
summer stories coming up in moments. Hang on for the touchstone and your chance to win tonight.
In between. 128.
Desire. Here it is, and the theme from Watch This Big Don on Thursday night up for grabs this hour in Summer Store. A blue 128 Frisbee. Hang on for the touchdown and your chance to win.
I can't hear you.
Don Geronimo.
Yes, I am. We're sending the very sincere and professional congratulations out tonight to Kim Hall of Appleton. Kim just got herself a blue 128 Frisbee in Summer Store. She now qualifies for the Super Stash. One of the prizes is a 23-channel Lafayette.
Beg your pardon?
Oh, fold me, spindle me, and mutilate me as long as we get close. That feels and crops. 11 minutes until 8 o'clock. This is Big Don on your radio at the Summer Gold Station. It brings you back the great beach music of the 60s every hour. I will be playing another one in minutes at WNAM.
Incredible!
Oh, yeah, that's a cutout of the brand new Chicago 10. It's another rainy day in New York City. 751 with Geronimo.
Hey! What are you trying to do? You ruined my record, man. I just bought it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting in black and white as an Infinity cost-cutting measure. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, Mike, I've compared our plight many times to famous historical leaders.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know the comparison now.
Martin Luther King.
Really?
Free at last.
Yeah.
Free at last.
Sure.
God Almighty, we're almost free at last.
We are very, very happy with the recent developments. Things are going very, very well.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Great.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Independence will be ours.
Very, very happy.
Yeah. Lots of the things we've been hoping for this show over the last 6 months. Finally, today, in a meeting, here, now, gentlemen,
yeah,
all of those things finally put into motion.
Excellent. Remarkably, at this stage of the game, no glitches.
Right.
And we were very, very pleasantly surprised.
No glitches. Everything's great. Now, finally, we can move on with the plans that we have for getting this show out
right
to the peoples.
Yay. Sure.
Not necessarily, God willing, the creeks don't rise with Westwood One.
God willing.
Right.
Really?
But so much of it at this point now is in secret negotiations with many high rollers in the radio field.
Lots of work to do, lots of things going on, but, you know, the main thing for us is, you know, we're able to do that, and that's
free at last.
We're free.
Free at last.
Yes.
Almost.
Mm-hmm.
Free at last.
Yeah, I just feel light and airy today. I really do.
Great.
Yeah. I'd be a good radio station.
Mm-hmm.
All your light and airy favorites.
More light and airy music.
Finally, today, after 8 months of lip service.
Right.
And needless ass-kissing and excuses.
Sure.
And how many times we had to sit down and say, okay, guys, 2 more weeks.
Right.
And we'll get this straightened out. Well, finally, today was the day that everything got straightened out.
It was definitive. You know, there was definitive movement, and that's what we wanted.
Wonderful.
There's nothing like a definitive movement.
All right, so what does this mean for you, the Don and my consumer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell you.
I know that there are going to be a lot of people, especially those two or three people that call every day when we say, we'll have a definitive answer. We can't talk about a lot of this right now.
We can't, because there's so many things happening behind the scenes with this show.
Right.
But everything's happening now, gentlemen.
Yes.
The way that we prayed it would.
Yeah, it really is. And I hope that everything continues to go smoothly without any glitches. I see no reason at this point why it shouldn't. And I also see no reason why, in a relatively short period of time, we're going to be able to tell you exactly what's going on with the show.
Yeah, it'll be great news for some of you listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of you listening, it probably won't be that great news.
But we don't know, and nothing is nothing is etched in stone yet, sure. But we're going to let you know as soon as we can.
Right, so listen, can't tell you.
Right.
Wish I could, really wish I could. Chomping at the bit to tell you. Feeling so good about it, wouldn't be prudent. Wouldn't be prudent to do it now. It would blow the deal now to talk about it.
I'll tell you one thing, though. You know, when we get off the air tonight, I'm going out to the local Walmart, and I'm going to buy our agent a phone.
Oh, listen. All right, so just let me tell you what happens here.
God.
We got this meeting. As you know, we're very unhappy with Westwood One. Shocker. We're unhappy with them. We want to do something else. There are other people that are interested in our services.
Yeah, we just want to, you know, do what's best for the show. That's what we want to
do. We want to clear more stations. We want stations that run the show to run the whole show. We want to get better stations, better markets, all this stuff. So finally, after months and months of double talk, it's all boiled down to one meeting.
Right.
Today, Monday, 2 o'clock, Ken's office.
A meeting that we were very edgy about, very nervous about.
Yeah, we were ready for the other shoe to be dropped again.
We didn't know, you know, the worst thing that could have happened was that, it would have been status quo. That's that we were just dreading that things were going to labor on and on.
It's not status quo. Because I tell you, really, I swear to God, if it was status quo, we would have been out of here.
Oh, man.
I mean,
it would have been not.
Our last show would have been last Friday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would have been it. We've bolted before.
Mm-hmm.
But we never told them that.
Right.
But we knew. I know that you know
that you want me to
hurt you. So, we got the most important meeting we've had in 10 years. 2 o'clock today. We walk into the office. Ken, you know, the reptile, our general manager, he's there.
Okay.
He says, I'm ready. Let's do it. Let's have this meeting.
Yeah, it gets off to a very, I don't want to say shaky, but I want to say.
No, shaky's the word, Mike.
Okay, shaky.
Shaky right, because of our agent, Junior Soprano.
He says, is your agent going to call here, or are we going to call? Don says, well, hey, we can call him. That's fine.
So
says, well, I don't have the number. Don says, I got it. And I like the way you did that, too. And, you know, just set the tone, in my opinion, for the meeting when you said, I got that number right here. And you pointed to your noggin.
I've memorized our agent's phone number.
That to me was just, that's right up here. I don't know, I just felt some strength with that.
And anybody out there would like to call our agent, his phone number at home is 1-888-275-4277.
That's right.
Please tell him that we said hello. So, 2 o'clock, ready for the meeting to start. Ken says, okay. I give him the number. He calls our agent.
Hello.
Of course, our agent can never pick up a telephone.
Right.
Never. It's on a speakerphone always.
A speakerphone that, you know, I think was like pre-Castro's Cuba.
Oh.
I mean, it was amazing.
And I think part of the problem is he's wearing his beekeeper outfit, getting ready to play shuffleboard with his hard wooden shoes and his big buckles on him and his knee socks. And he's like probably standing halfway on the porch looking
exactly
at his Boca Raton view.
Don't you picture that phone sitting there in a screened-in, on a screened-in deck that's, on a wicker table,
yeah.
Like something that was purchased maybe around 1972, you know,
right.
and he puts it up. Hello.
All right, so we get our agent on the phone. We go, okay, let's start the meeting. First thing our agent says, are the guys in Chicago there? Now, keep in mind that the guys that he wants in on this conversation, just my humble opinion, they're worthless. Right? They're like the lackeys who work for our agent.
What their function is to write everything down, to keep a record of it, so that he can stay in his cabana outfit and not have to write any of this stuff down. And you know, so we have to go through this elaborate process.
Oh my God.
Of getting Chicago on the line.
Right? So he says, hold on. And now, I'm not exaggerating when I say five times. Now, keep in mind, there's a lot of tension in the room with us and Ken.
Oh.
Ken's ready to start the meeting, and this is what we hear.
Hello, guys.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, I'm going to put Chicago on now. Hello, Chicago.
Nothing. And then I say, I don't think they're there.
Is this Chicago?
No, this is not Chicago.
And the whole time, you know, I'm looking at Ken, like,
right.
I know, this elderly man
who can't seem to master the phones is going to be negotiating for us.
And it's at that point where I was grateful that we have worked with Ken for a reasonable amount of time, because Ken knows our agent. You know, because I'll tell you one thing right now. If this was a debut meeting, if this was the first conference call, we would have been in very big trouble.
Right. You know, euthanasia and all that stuff. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I mean, it'd be time to, you know, let our agent, Junior Sobrano, take a nice nap. So, five times where he says,
hello,
is this Chicago?
Hello?
And finally, you know, and now what I don't want to do is make it look like there's dissension within our own ranks.
Sure. So you don't want to jump on him, although, you know, I can feel your comedy brain working with...
I'm so tempted just to say to our agent, listen, just... shut up. The guys in Chicago don't matter. Ken's finally here.
Right.
We're finally going to have the meeting. Just take off your beekeeper's hat and do your job.
Get your own legal pad out. Use a crayon if you have to. Let's start this meeting.
So then what? We're waiting now. The meeting's supposed to start at 2. It's now 2:10, and it's being mucked up because our agent can't get his Chicago office on the phone. So then he says to Ken, why don't you do it?
Why don't you call me and Chicago, and then... Do you have the ability to conference tube number?
You know, and I'm sitting there going,
now, keep in mind the whole time. Now Ken is starting to get the glazed over look in his eyes,
right?
Because as feeble as our agent is with the telephones,
mm-hmm.
Ken is equally feeble. Ken has no idea.
Ken has to go down the hallway to find
get the chief engineer.
Get the chief engineer of the radio station to learn how to conference tube. But you would think. And I don't want to slam Ken because things are great with Ken right now. You would think that he's done that a couple of days. But
I don't think he's ever done it.
Probably not here. And so he runs down to get, thank God, because it was a ghost town up on the second floor.
Citizen Dan Risen.
Citizen Dan was at his desk doing his job.
Yay.
He came down. He conferenced the calls together. Finally, it's now 2:15. We've waited 15 minutes to start this meeting.
Let me tell you what kills me, though. This is what kills me, all right? We've got this extraordinarily important meeting, this conference call that we've waited for a long time. Once it's agreed that Ken is going to call Chicago and call, you know, Mr. Boca.
Junior Soprano, our agent.
That's, you would think that when we called through and we got through to Chicago that it would be immediately
right.
Through.
Oh, no, we get... That's the worst. They pick up the phone and they go, hello, Don Ephraim's office.
Don Ephraim and Associates.
And Ken goes, yeah, this is Ken Stevens. I'd like to talk to Joe.
No, before he said that, he said, who's calling, please? This is Ken Stevens. 1 minute.
Yeah. And then we're sitting there. We're on hold for 5 minutes while the music is playing, while the hold music is playing. Now, keep in mind, these guys at our agent's office in Chicago, they know we're calling.
They're waiting.
Right? Except for some reason, they're not taking the call.
It's the way it's always been. It's my number one pet peeve with our agents. Like, it doesn't matter. What, you could be bleeding on the sidewalk and you'd call,
hello? Who's calling, please?
1 minute.
Wah, wah, wah.
It's,
it's a standard minute and a half, just for the sake of a minute and a half.
And then once our agent gets his cronies on the phone, you know what they do during this whole negotiation? Dick. They don't do anything.
Right.
You just hear them kind of mumbling in the background because, of course, they're on speakerphones, too, because they're so important.
When he's back at the office, when our number one guy's back at the office, you always feel when you call his office that you're calling through to some old English judge panel with powdered wigs, that you got 15 people in a panel that are talking to you at the same time.
I always get the feelings like Get Smart. You know where Maxwell Smart had to walk through those like 25 doors just to get to his office? That's what our agent is like. So finally, it's now 20 after 2. We've been in the office 20 minutes.
Right.
Finally, the meeting gets going. And even then,
right,
it's like someone has to kickstart our agent,
sure,
to get the thing started because everybody's on the telephone.
Good, great.
And then there was a period of about 20 seconds where nobody said anything.
Right.
It was like Ken was waiting for the agent to start. The agent, sure, was waiting for Ken to start. I'm not saying anything because we're being represented by our agent.
That's right. And we're kind of like waiting there to find out what's going on.
So everybody's just kind of looking down at their fingernails. And then finally you hear our agent say, Ken? Hello, Ken?
And it started, and it went quite well as we did.
No, it went great.
Good. It went great once it got started. That was
great.
If that had been our first time meeting with everybody, it would have been...
We would have never gotten this job.
No, it would have been horrible.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We are live from Las Vegas. The 21st hour of the national segment of the 1994 Jerry Lewis Labor Day Muscular Dystrophy Association telethon. Here's the man of this and any hour, the national chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Lewis.
Hi. Welcome. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you for being with us, and to all you lovely people in the studio, as well as all of you terrific folks at home, please know we're grateful that you hung in there and stayed with us, because we're going to present to you some of the entertainment I alluded to earlier, a gentleman who has helped me on this show more years than I can remember, but I asked him this day to please open the show for me and give me some of that marvelous glitz that he's known for and the showmanship that's made him a legend in his own time. And I said, please come and finish it for me. And he has agreed to do that. And you are lucky that he's here. Mr. Wayne Newton, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I've been watching. Not only did I have the pleasure of being asked to open the telethon, but I've been watching it most of the night, except when I was on stage myself at the Sands. And it occurred to me, knowing the beating that this man takes every year, being here all these hours, in addition to the wonderful press that he has to put up with throughout the year, I picked two songs that we dedicate to the man here. And most of the time we dedicate these songs to you. But I think you kind of fit in, too. We hope you agree. For you, my friend.
Up to that point, Jerry had concealed his Percodan dependence.
I walk out with Michael, and I collapse in the hallway. And blood came from every opening I had. Eyes, nose, ears, name it. Blood flow like the damn dike opened up. What had happened was that the Percodan was concealing the pain of a grapefruit ulcer. They had me in surgery like in 20 minutes. I was bleeding to death.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're guys. Don and Mike.
We're going to call our agent up right now.
I'm good.
And let you hear what his telephone is like. We're going to ask him what his surroundings are like.
I'd like to preface this phone call by saying you're about to hear the one thing he dreads more than any other.
This is not on the air, is it?
Honest to God, this will freak him out.
Oh, sure.
He hates it more than anything else, but he deserves it.
Here we go.
He's gone.
Hello. Hey, Don.
Hi.
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
How are you? We were just talking about your phone.
Listen, first off, we should tell you, you're on the air with us.
We know that's what you hate the most, but we just felt we had to call and say hi.
We were just talking about the meeting. No specifics, of course, but
yes.
We were talking how pleased we are with the meeting.
Very happy that, but we gave no details out, so don't worry about that.
All right, well, that is good.
Oh! Yeah. Oh, you son of a bitch! He finally picked it. You hear that now?
That's it. We never heard that sound.
When we talked to him, the phone never clicked.
Privately.
The phone never clicked.
Oh, you know, really, to give our listeners the benefit of the way it normally sounds, you ought to go back on the box. You really should.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we'd like everybody to hear what it sounds
that's
like.
That's the way we...
You can tell the difference. So hold on. I hope I don't cut you off.
Please, you can tell the difference. Please. Listen to him.
I hope you don't cut us off either.
Hang on.
There you are.
There you go. All right, now.
You're on the box.
You're on the box. Hey, guys, stay...
Can you tell the difference?
Stay cool. Stay cool. Listen, we have questions about your surroundings down there in Florida.
Sure.
Do you have, like, a screened-in porch down there with wicker furniture, and are you wearing a pith helmet right now?
No.
No? Were you, when we had this meeting today, were you wearing a swimsuit?
No.
Were you nude?
No, but I'll tell you, I had shorts on.
Shorts! Were you wearing sandals also?
Shorts, sandals, short sleeve shirt,
mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the pool.
Was it a pullover short sleeve shirt or was it a button up short sleeve shirt?
No, a pullover.
Pullover.
Do you have black socks under those sandals?
No.
No. No.
We're just checking. We really are.
We don't wear socks in Florida.
Ah, it's very good.
Florida. And you know who paid for that pool back there, Mike? That's you and me paid for that pool over the last 15 years.
Hope he's enjoying it.
There you go.
Well, listen, we thought it was a great meeting, except for the very beginning when you couldn't get your guys in Chicago online.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, trying to figure out. I'll tell you, we actually have a new phone system. And we hadn't mastered it, we're getting a hold of it. But it was good. Yeah, it was really tough to get a hold of you.
Stay cool.
Stay cool.
Well, stay cool.
You know, every now and then we just like to hear your voice on our show so that our listeners can know what we deal with.
Yeah, but gee, you never send me a tape of that show.
Oh, this is the other thing I get with this guy all the time. Whenever I talk to him, it's like, hey, send me a tape. Mm-hmm.
Don't I get the minimum here for being on the air?
you get the minimum, for goodness sake.
You get the minimum. You're in that nice house of yours down there in sunny Florida.
Wait, I want to know, is this going in the best of show?
That's all right. Listen, you don't get anything extra if it goes in best of.
That's right. This is grade A material, though. It should be on best of.
You're darn right.
Mm-hmm. Who is the celebrity? Now, listen, we've described you before. You ever watched The Sopranos, Don?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
I think I've only watched maybe one or two episodes.
All right, we've described you as looking most like Junior Soprano. You know Tony's
darker hair.
Tony Soprano's uncle, the guy that was the mob leader.
You know something? I can't picture him on stand, but I'm going to look now.
He's very good looking.
He had kind of like Harry Carey glasses, kind of like you have.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but a good looking.
Yeah, very good looking. Sure. Very
virile.
Very fit.
Very muscular.
Yeah. Very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I do think you look kind of like? Maybe a little like Wally Cox. Don't you think he looks a little like Wally Cox?
If Wally Cox would look now if he had lived.
Hey, Wally Cox is dead, isn't he?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Like he would look if he had managed to survive in 1999.
Absolutely.
Who is Don?
You're saying if he was alive, I look like him.
Sure. Yes.
Who
is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
I thought Cary Grant.
Oh, please.
Oh, come
please.
On. Please.
Somebody must have been, talking to you at a cocktail party or something.
What about your wife? Who does she think you look like?
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman. Oh, he's not going to... You know, you can tell why he's our agent. He will not give us a straight answer.
Guys, stay cool. Now, listen. It's not a good idea for you to call Ken a liar on the air.
Listen, he did a good job, guys.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. He did a good job.
It was a good meeting today.
We have said it was a good meeting.
Yep.
We have said we're pleased, and we have given no details. We only have one suggestion.
Yes.
The next time we do one of these conference calls, perhaps we could try walkie-talkies. It might be a little faster.
Well, no, next time I'm going to pay my phone bill and I won't have the problem.
Very good.
All right, beautiful. So how will you be spending the rest of this afternoon in Florida?
How will I be spending it?
Yes.
Well, probably go for a swim here shortly.
I'd love to have a videotape of that.
It's probably about 82 or 83 degrees.
Oh, will that swim be in the nude?
No.
No, okay.
No, because the pool is right out in the open.
Oh, it is, okay.
Now, do you have to have, like, one of those life preservers when you go in the pool? Or
little swimmies, maybe, on your arm?
Yeah, do you have those blow-up things that you put on little kids' arms?
Water wings.
Water wings. Yes, yeah, that's why he must have them. You have the water wings, and you have a...
I have two people holding me, though, too.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And your suit, is it boxers, or is it the European-style Speedo swimsuit?
No, it's a blow-up thing that has air in it so I won't sink.
Oh, very so a special suit.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Special
order.
Special suit for a special guy.
Inflatable swimsuit. That's delightful.
And tonight, for dinner, what will it be? The Outback? Applebee's?
No, it won't.
Really?
No, I think we're eating at home tonight.
Oh. Eating at home. Now, does your wife cook for you?
Oh, sure.
You don't let the cook or the butler do that?
No cook or butler.
Okay, very good.
No cook or butler.
They don't swim, those people.
They don't swim.
They don't swim. But you do have a cook and a butler.
No, we don't.
Okay.
No, I wish we could do a few more deals. We'll do a cook and butler.
Ah, very good.
Do a few more deals, yeah. Stay cool. Guys, it's not a good idea to talk about management on your show. Stay cool.
Don't worry about it.
All right, well, listen, would you just say for everybody listening right now, would you just tell all of our listeners, please, to stay cool?
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Stay cool. All right. Thank you, Don.
Listen, take care, guys.
All right. I'll talk to you in the morning.
You betcha.
All right. Bye-bye.
That is our agent.
Oh, I forgot to tell him to enjoy month three of his vacation.
Junior Soprano. Yeah, his office is in Chicago, but he's never there now. He, like, lives in Boca year-round.
He used to be when we first started, working with him. You've had him for longer than I have.
Yeah, 16 years.
I mean, wouldn't it probably make two or three days a year he was down there, and now it's 2 or 3 months.
Should have asked him. You know what? I don't want to piss him off because he's right in the middle of all these negotiations, but I wanted to ask him how he's handling life after Ebert.
Ah, yes.
Because, that was his big... That's his big claim to fame.
After Siskel, you mean?
That's right. Excuse me. Because whenever he would get mad at me when I first hooked up with him, he would always say, hey, I don't need this. Mm-hmm. I don't need this radio stuff. You know, have I told you... Do you know who Siskel and Ebert are?
Yeah, that's also in his stable. One time when we weren't getting through, I called as Roger Ebert and actually got through really quickly.
It was fun.
Oh, no.
I just want to find out if he's still handling the one that's alive.
That's a good question.
Which one died again?
Siskel.
Siskel.
Okay.
Oh,
dear.
Hold on a second.
Roger Ebert may be down in the pool with him right now.
Wow. I'll tell you right now, this is the most incredible pool. I give it a big thumbs up.
I just asked him if he still handled Ebert. Very good. Hello? Speakerphone. He will answer with the speakerphone.
Hi, guys.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hey, it's us again.
Oh, it is you.
Yeah, okay.
You're on the air again.
One more question.
Oh, yes, okay.
Do you still handle Ebert?
Surely.
Okay,
just wondering about that.
Nothing changed in the post-Siskel era?
No.
Okay,
no.
Okay. All right, thanks.
I just wanted to check.
Uh-oh, wait, are we going to get a phone call?
No, I won't call you as Roger Ebert, I promise.
Okay.
We just know that they're your biggest and most favorite clients.
Next to you guys.
Oh, please.
Of course.
All right, thank you, Don.
Enjoy your swim.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Now he hangs up the phone. Those sons of bitches.
I hate them.
How dare they bring the name of Gene Siskel into this?
Honey, is my fried hot dog ready? I like it fried, not steamed. And for God's sakes, don't put it in the microwave. It'll explode.
Where's the Metamucil? Stay cool.
I tell you, I'd be more regular if I didn't eat all this processed meat. Very, very frustrating. Listen, I'm going for a swim. Fry that hot dog up in the little pieces.
Well, that's what our life is like.
There it is.
And maybe you can tell things are doing better.
Yes, very good.
Very happy today.
I am too.
So hopefully we'll have some kind of a big ass announcement for you very soon.
Hope so.
Because our agent has many, many phone calls to make and stuff to do. So stay tuned for that.
Hope he has a waterproof phone.
You know, stay cool.
Making those deals as he's up to his waist in chlorinated water.
Do you know who Siskel and Ebert are? I mean, he really seriously would say that to me. Like, Don, no, I don't know who Siskel and Ebert are. You know, they're my clients.
They've been very happy with me.
You know, I don't handle a lot of radio people.
He also handles that guy, the guy on A&E.
Bill Curtis.
The guy that talks like this.
Bill Curtis.
Hello, Don. How's your swim going?
Hey. Stay cool. Hello.
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 Hello. My fried hot dog ready?
Hard to believe that guy's such a supreme ball buster.
Yes, he is.
But he is.
He's ours.
Think our agent watches Judge Judy?
Yes, probably.
You want to do a side bet on that right now?
Yeah, I'll say he has watched Judge Judy.
No, does he watch it regularly?
Oh, he doesn't watch it regularly, no.
What do you think is the number one TV show he watches regularly?
The number one show?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's very tough. The news.
You might think...
He will say the news.
You might think Entertainment Tonight because he's in the entertainment field. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Judge Judy. I'll go with Judge Judy.
Can I get a little slash there? The news or, like, Discovery A&E?
One or the other, Mike.
All right, I'm going to say, like, Discovery Channel... PBS, A&E, that kind of stuff. That informative, can I lop those all together?
How about educational?
Educational programming.
Okay, Buzz, you want some of this action?
Oh, good, yeah, since the news is available, I'll take news.
News.
Robbie, you want to guess what he watches on TV?
Yeah, I'll say he watches Regis every morning.
Regis.
All right.
Okay, now what are you saying? What was your Judge Judy?
Judge Judy.
Okay. Now he's going to have to get out of the pool to answer this.
I'm saying like A&E Discovery and Buzz is saying news. Pissed. He called me three times yesterday.
Hello? Yes, hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, it's us. Last time, I promise.
We will not harass you any longer.
Listen, we were just having a discussion about you.
Yes.
When you were down there lounging in Florida by your pool, when you come inside,
What is the one TV show that you watch every day?
Well, the one TV show that I watch every day.
Yeah, hold on. I'll give you a second to think about it, because we've all bet on it, on what TV show we think you, our super agent, watches every day. We have four quite diverse choices here. We'd like to know if we're close. What is the one TV show that you try to watch every day?
Okay, I'll tell you what it is.
Yes.
Gary Shandling.
Gary Sanders?
Gary Shandling.
The Larry Sanders Show?
Larry Sanders Show.
Wow.
Stumped
off the scale.
That is so hip.
Off the scale. Do you understand that show?
No, but I have people to come explain it.
Well, Don voted for Judge Judy.
Mike thought you would watch like A&E.
A&E or Discovery or something like that. And Buzz thought it was the news.
And Robbie thought it was Regis and Kathy Lee.
Well, wait, then I get the prize.
Yeah. You really watch that show?
Yeah, absolutely, every night.
Tell me some of the
characters. One of the best shows on.
Tell me some of the...
That and Seinfeld are probably two about...
Seinfeld. Should have known that.
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, like the old man's dream show. Tell me some of the characters on Larry Sanders, please.
Well, what about them?
Can you tell me any of the characters on that show?
Sure.
Do you have favorites?
I can't think of his name, but the guy that is the sidekick.
Hank?
Hank, yeah.
Hey now.
Hank Kingsley.
About the producer.
Producer's phenomenal. Rip Torn.
Rip Torn, Artie, he really watches the show.
He does watch it.
Rip Torn's phenomenal. Gary Shandling is a great actor, addition to being a comic.
You never handled Gary Shandling, did you?
No.
You ever seen the episode?
Gene Siskel was on that show.
Right. I remember when he did a great job on that show.
You ever see the episode?
But the show is, I tell you, the show is absolutely marvelous. I think it's the most underappreciated show, primarily because it's on cable. It hasn't been as exposed as much. A lot of people don't have HBO, but...
We have to tell our agent that we agree. I mean,
we love that show.
That is really one of our favorite shows.
I'm so impressed. I didn't even know that you knew what HBO was.
Well, again, somebody had to explain it to me, but I got it after the first time I tried.
Have you ever seen the episode where Larry is unsatisfied with his agent, the old guy that eats peanuts out of the sack, and he ends up...
It's Hank that's unsatisfied.
No. It's... Hank has an old agent.
He has a very old agent.
But so does Larry.
Okay.
And Larry's agent eats peanuts out of a bag all the time, and Larry ends up firing him to go with that sleazy young guy, Stevie.
I turned that episode off.
Okay, Don, thank you.
Okay.
We won't bother you anymore.
It's all right.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shocker.
Yes.
That's a shocker.
That's terrific.
I'm amazed that first off, I'm amazed he watches it. Second, I'm amazed he understands it.
Hello? Hello?
Maybe he just watches it because he likes Gary Shandling.
You notice the little difference in tone that time? Hello?
Yeah.
That was just like going to the well one too many times.
I'm surprised he can watch any show without a laugh track.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Right? How does he know where to laugh during Larry Sanders' show?
I was thinking he'd be, more like Green Acres or something like that.
That is right. Really, really funny stuff.
Shocker. Sorry, we're out of time.
Again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.